The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're back here for another very special...
You're very unbuttoned over there.
...off-season edition of PFW in Progress.
He's got a raccoon sticking out of his shirt.
Don't worry about my manliness, okay?
I'm a man, baby.
Speaking of that,
virility.
My career as... Jake Steele.
What is it that you do?
my career as Jake Steele, Cadillac crime fighter, got off to a rocky start. I'll tell you about that a little later in the show.
Oh, that's called a tease.
Yeah, got off to a rocky start.
But you haven't abandoned
it. I attempted a foray into the career, and it got off to a rocky start.
This is good. All right. I know
really
what happened.
This is going to be organic.
Right.
We don't know the story.
No, we don't. So I'm guessing, Paul, he went to an MMA class and got his butt handed to him.
No. We'll talk
about it
later.
All right.
Anyway, we're here for the next 2 hours until 2 o'clock on PFW in Progress. You can call in 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, or you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. This is the place where we keep the NFL and the Patriots flame burning despite all this lockout. But some more promising news today. I guess the owners are meeting on the eastern shore of Maryland.
Are they trying to hit every corner of the country?
Yeah.
Shh. It's a secret.
I guess this is
Chicago, Long
knows,
Island.
But it's a secret.
Yeah. So
Maryland,
the eastern shore of Maryland.
So Brad maybe can call in.
I think Brad called the meeting.
Brad from the eastern shore.
Maybe they're meeting at Brad's house.
He said, Bobby, come down here.
So another
some crab cakes.
Another promising sign that they're continuing to meet.
Okay.
And you know, there is a possibility. You know, people throw out these dates. I don't know where they get them. You know, July 21st.
July 10th seems to be the
July 10th.
The new one for an agreement, not necessarily the start of whatever, an agreement.
Yeah.
That works out great. That would be just at the end of our all of our vacations.
Yeah, well, it's got to at least push it at least that far, because if we had all this lockout and I don't end up getting a vacation.
Yeah.
You know.
George's getting upset.
I mean, even Fred's taking a couple of days off. Fred never takes time.
Yeah, I know. I got to go to some lacrosse tournaments.
He's got some long poles.
Yeah. So that's hopeful. And I know that the owners were told to keep their schedules open.
Well, they're meeting next Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
June 21st?
Yeah, to keep their schedules open in case things go on to
they
Wednesday
They were told to
Thursday.
Pack a bag, according to Florio.
Yeah. So sounds
so they're
like...
You know,
overnight bag? They're going to bunk?
Roast s'mores?
Right. Sounds like they're going to try to get something done.
Now, I think it works out best if each owner brings something to the camp out.
Like ice cream?
Yeah.
Somebody brings sandwiches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a potluck?
You know, and Mr. Kraft, you know, because, you know, he has the food business, he can bring, like, cheese and stuff.
Well, he'll bring the boxes.
Don't
that's not...
Do not promote that urban myth.
He'll bring the boxes for them to put all the food
in. The Krafts do not own Kraft cheese.
Franking me is the most disgusting one. No,
well, you'd be surprised how many people actually think that's true.
You're absolutely right. I've had a million people ask me that, but who cares? It's not like it's like a bad thing. Yeah. That it's not like he's associated. Oh, were you the Charles Manson that killed all those people? I mean, it's not like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know. People love Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I like it. Yeah. But so it's good. I'm assuming that Robert Kraft will be there. He seems to be really involved in what's going on. He's part of the labor committee. Mm-hmm. And hopefully.
So we'll see.
We'll get a break. Right. I mean, that's all we can say right now. You know, I don't have any further insight as to how much progress they're going to make, but I think they both get it. I think they both understand that a loss of games is just ridiculous.
I'm to the point now, I don't even think preseason games are going to be compromised.
Well,
You know what? If they do, I wouldn't be totally upset if they were.
No, I'm hoping that they are. but I actually think that if it comes to that, I think it might be an intentional thing to kind of see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think at this point, there's a lot of momentum, and unless something happens, unforeseen. Now, maybe the players are going to be that obstinate about it. I just don't see it. I see a lot of players now getting to the point
getting
where,
anxious.
You know, they're football players.
Right.
It's
that time
of
year.
We're football players. We play football. Uh-huh. Well, it's getting to the time of year now as summer is about to start that football players start to play football, and I think they're going to be hard-pressed to sit out when any real money, much like we've, a lot of people have been saying all along, once real money is in jeopardy, I think cooler heads prevail.
Yeah, I mean, the players can say all they want, oh, we're in it for the long haul. They ain't speaking for the guy who has got a mortgage and a wife and kids. And
is set to become a free agent and potentially cash in.
There is no long haul. It's just,
you know, as
September.
Carl Peterson said in our upcoming issue for Paul Domowich's column, you know, when the wife comes and says, what happened to that 1/17th of whatever many million?
Right.
And we're not going to get the second 1/17th of that either?
Right.
Well, you guys got to do something about this.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And that's not money they're going to make up.
No.
You know,
this is not like Logan Mankins last year where you could say, well, he can sacrifice a million or two here for the greater good for him.
Right.
That ain't the case here. Any money lost on either side on something like this is just might as well flush it down the
drain. That's right. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. And as Paul, you alluded to, we've got an issue of PFW coming out tomorrow. We go into bed.
Otherwise known as the Eric Scalavino edition.
Yeah. Yeah. Between Eric and community relations, Paul and Andy took the week off.
So I'm going to take the next issue off, Paul. That's good with you.
Yeah.
Okay,
basically,
good.
That's
thanks.
Normally what happens.
That's right. Back to normal. What else? Oh, you have the story with Josh Boyer.
Yes.
Fishing.
Yep. Very happy with how that turned out.
Yeah. It was nice. Get some good photos. And, I still know what Andy and Paul did, but that's all right.
I did a Paul story on the workouts.
Okay.
Andy did a Father's Day.
Right.
Right.
That
we transcribed for him and gave to him. So.
Andy today, of course, is taking
it's
it off.
Summer of Andy.
Summer of Andy.
Summer of Andy.
And it was the issue of Andy as well, because he really did do nothing.
Yeah, he did nothing.
I was supposed to do two Paul stories, that MVP, community MVP thing.
Right.
Replaced my second Paul story.
Right.
Okay. What else is going on? We got the labor talks continuing.
Yep.
Paul's on his second bottle of Diet Coke already.
This is my first cup. Oh, I have something, you know, speaking of that. We were joking around that I couldn't go a day. You know, have I ever gone a day without Diet Pepsi?
And or Miller Lite.
And this was not intentional in any way, shape, or form. But on Saturday, I did not have any Diet Pepsi nor Miller Lite. Now, the Miller Lite thing is silly. I mean, I've gone 350 days a year I go without a Miller Lite.
Right.
I did not have any Diet Pepsi. Completely kind of circumstantial. Accidental more than anything else.
This wasn't intentional.
What were you drinking?
Well, I had to take the kids to a birthday party. Will was invited to a birthday party. And at the party, they had some refreshments and for the adults. So I did have some pizza. So I guess that's bad enough for you, right?
No, it's good for you.
All right. So I had some pizza.
Don't overdo it.
And they had bottled waters for us. So I didn't have Pepsi available. So that basically took up the whole afternoon. So now we're all the way through to, say, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't had any Pepsi.
Paul's body rejected the bottled water, by the way.
Eric will tell you, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm generally 4 or 5 deep in my diet Pepsi by that. So that's a long time. And then I got the kids. We got home. I got the kids cleaned up. Beth was working, obviously. So we get kind of ready to, you know, wind it down. They took their showers. I got them in bed, and we're watching Cars, the greatest movie of all time. And
for the what time?
Oh, God. We're definitely in triple digits.
Really?
Oh, without question. Wow. So we're kind of like lazing around in the afternoon. It was rainy, cold, nothing really to do outside. And I ended up falling asleep at like 7:30. Beth was not really even home from work yet, so I hadn't had dinner. And then by the time I got up, it was like 9. Took my contacts out. They were placid to my eyes. I just never had any Diet Pepsi.
That's it. Wow.
That was it.
Did you wake up the next morning with like a migraine? And
no. A very unexciting
withdrawal.
The delirium trends.
Very unexciting, uneventful day, but noteworthy in that I did not have any Diet Pepsi.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Or Miller Lite.
Or Miller Lite.
As I said in the past, I would never have any Miller Lite, by the way, when Beth is working and I'm solely responsible for my children.
Well, I think what it might be is more of an oral fixation where you need something always going to your
mouth. Well,
that's
what I was trying to explain last week. If there were no bottles of Coke here, I wouldn't be constantly drinking Diet Coke.
No.
I wouldn't go out and, you know, like have to, I wouldn't say, hey, Kevin, you got to get me, I need a fix. I got to get it.
Yep.
All right. It's here. It's a habit.
Well, obviously, the biggest news on the sports scene right now is
baby.
Bruins' big win last night, 5-2. Just unbelievable how they're a different team
when
they're in Boston, or Vancouver's a different team. I can't figure it
19-8 goals in this series in favor of the Bruins.
Right.
Six games.
They have to win
19
game 7.
19 for the Bruins, 8 for the Canucks.
They're going to win game 7. I'm
now, if you
this.
Recall... Right at the start of the series, we talked a little bit about this.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, of course, Paul got mocked and made fun of for suggesting that the Bruins
By who were you made fun of?
By Big Head, of course.
Okay.
And, you know, the overworked, underpaid assassin behind the glass also jumped in. I made the wild conclusion that I think the Bruins needed to force the offense. And I made the comment that they need to score goals. Of course, Andy took that, you know, like
literally,
only Big Head can.
Right.
They're going to score goals. Oh, geez, that's brilliant. So my point being that they weren't going to be able to beat Vancouver four times trying to beat them 1-0 or 2-1 times. They might be able to win tomorrow night 2-1, one game. But I didn't think they could beat them four times because I felt that's Vancouver's style. That's how they're accustomed to playing.
Certainly their style in Vancouver.
And Kevin Bieksa, their best defenseman, actually said after Game 5, we knew coming in that we needed to win a 1-0 or 2-1 type game. That's the way they want to play, and they're the best in the league at that.
So
I didn't think the Bruins could win that way.
Why can't the Bruins do what they're doing in Boston and Vancouver?
Why can't they do it in Vancouver?
It's a great question.
That's if you had the answer to that, you'd be Claude Julien.
Right. I think part of the answer is that Roberto Luongo is a different player in Vancouver than he is, or at least has been in Boston.
They also haven't played. I think part of it is the strategy of the last change, and the home team gets
explain that.
It's a little overrated, but the home team gets to put out their personnel last. So once the visitors put it's basically you have to declare. You put who you have out there, and the home team can
change on the fly in the NHL?
You can, but you have to wait till after the puck drops, and if you try to do that, you can get caught, much like the Bruins did in overtime of Game 2.
Oh, so on a stoppage of play.
Right.
Right, okay.
So as an example, the Canucks' top line is Burrows, Alexander Burrows, the guy who bit Patrice Bergeron, and the two Sedin sisters. And the Bruins have really tried to match that line with their best defensive pairing, which is Chara and Seidenberg. Well, in Vancouver, Alain Vigneault. Yeah. Anyway, he wants to call himself Elaine. I'm going to call him Elaine. He has the ability to keep the Sedin sisters away from Chara and Seidenberg because they'll beat them up too much.
Right.
They're too physical.
Right, right.
They're too physical.
Right.
Okay, so Mary Kate and Ashley have to get on another line.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's two shots.
You know, I was
Mike
a little
Milbury
mad, I was a little mad at Mike
today.
Milbury calling them Thelma and Louise because they're far too tough.
Yeah, those
Thelma and Louise were tough.
Yeah, they were. That's a good point.
I think, and all that.
But that's, in a nutshell, they're able to dictate who you play against a little bit easier at home. It's a little overrated because you can adapt quickly enough.
Right.
But I don't think the Bruins have forced offense as much in Vancouver as they have. I think they've done a much better job forechecking in Boston. I don't think it's – everybody boils it down to hitting and physicality, intensity. I don't think that's it.
I think they've been physical the whole time.
The Bruins were out-hit last night in the first period and came out up 4-0. I think when you have the puck more than the other team and you're dictating pace, you're getting hit more.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought Game 5, Vancouver had more hits because the Bruins carried the play.
Right.
And the Bruins had the puck more often than Vancouver
the
did.
The Bruins were
especially
on three,
early.
Three power plays, yeah. So you know, the Canucks are chasing them all over the place.
And you have to hit when you're chasing.
Right.
So I think there's a little bit of overrated nature to that, but it's been a fantastic series, and the way the Bruins have blown them out
absolutely.
In Boston.
I was kind of, you know, I'm glad the Bruins won, but I was kind of disappointed in that it wasn't a good game. I mean, you know, it was just out of hand so
quickly.
Kevin
and I spent the whole second and third period just like emailing back and forth.
It was
kind of
let me tell you something, Fred.
Right.
You're gonna get You're gonna get your money's worth in Game 7. It's gonna be a great game.
I'll bet.
It's gonna be a great game, and the Bruins are gonna pull it out.
All the same, I'll take a repeat of Game 6. I don't need to be.
No,
I
will take a repeat of Game 6.
I don't need to have the paddles taken out in overtime of Game 7.
No.
I'll take a 5-2 rocking chair win.
I think Bruins are going to finally win by a goal in Vancouver.
I think that they need to score at least 3 goals to win.
Yep. 3-2. That's what I'm going to say.
3-2.
Yep.
Eric
Bruins
is on the record for 3-2.
But I could see them, you know, listen, Thomas has played so unbelievably well. I could see them going in and him just saying, you know what, I'm not allowing a goal. And they just win 1-0. I could see it happening once. I just didn't see it happening four times in the series. And the way the six games have gone, the Canucks have won the low-scoring tight games. The Bruins have won the blowouts.
Right.
So, as Kevin pointed out last night, I was vindicated.
Do you start Luongo or do you go with the other guy?
Well,
he's going with Luongo. But I think it is a legit
question. He said it last
night. I thought it was funny. Pierre Maguire said, between the glass or whatever he said. What is it? Yeah.
Behind the glass.
It might be.
I don't think that's what that wasn't called for. Okay.
That's poor to me.
All right. That was gratuitous. He said in the middle of the second period that there was no way that he would go. He was saying how well Schneider was playing, even though he won't start Game 7. Like, it wasn't even an issue.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not worth at least a thought.
Yeah.
Right.
I think what Vigneault,
but I guess he was right. It wasn't worth it.
No, I think what Vigneault was thinking is that it worked well after, what was it, Game 5?
With
a question about whether you should start what's-his-name or not, and Luongo came back and had a decent performance.
He played really well in Game 5. To me, that was the only game that
That's where he's trying to go with. We know this guy's a head case, so I'm going to give him the confidence now and say we're going home. You've been good at home in this series. We're going to rely on you to do that
again. But I'll tell you, if he gives up 2 quick goals, he's out of there, right? Always have to. The fans were
turning on him in Game 5.
If they're quick goals like they were last night, I can see 2 of them being enough. Now, they were also bad goals last night.
Yeah.
The first 3 goals all could have been stopped.
One was through the 5 hole.
One was over the shoulder. I mean, the Marchand goal was ridiculous. That's an embarrassment for an NHL goal.
Did you see how they highlighted after Marchand scored how Schneider hugged the post as opposed to how Luongo comes off his ankle?
It went over his shoulder. That can never – a glove side shoulder, roof you can shoulder. Never get beat from that
Wasn't
far out.
Wasn't he on his knees at the
NHL
time,
guy.
Too?
Exactly.
From that far out, he was on his knees.
Well, he gets down on his knees very quickly.
Yeah. What? Andy's
playing
not
the
here.
Role of Andy?
Now, what did you call Luongo last night?
Bobby Lou?
You made me burst out laughing.
That's not new. I didn't make that up.
No, I know. I just hadn't heard it. You were like, your boy Bobby Luongo said.
No,
like,
Bobby Lou.
Bobby Lou.
Not Bobby Luongo.
I thought what Tim Thomas did when the Bruins came out was...
Did you see that?
Funny sportsmanship. Did you see what he did?
Oh, he shot the puck down
at Luongo's end.
That's a no-no in the NHL.
Oh, sure.
Well,
yeah.
Oh.
You got to stick to your side.
No, he didn't go down there.
He didn't go down there. He just turned and shot the puck.
As if to say, here, pump this tire here.
Save this shot.
Right. Well, it's nice.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know what the hell Luongo was thinking.
It'll be
those
fun.
Comments the other day.
You know, now that LeBron has lost,
yep.
We can.
Luongo's going to be next.
Yeah. What did you guys think about that? about the Cavaliers.
LeBron losing?
The Cavaliers. About the Heat.
Paul, tell them what happened yesterday when I was in your office.
Were you among those that were, you didn't care as long as the Heat lost, you didn't care who's the champ?
Well,
I didn't really care who was the champ, honestly.
It was great for me because my boy Barea ended up winning a title.
Yeah.
I told you, when Barea hit that three-pointer late in the fourth quarter.
Pants tent.
Yeah, well, yeah. What do you do if it lasts more than 4 hours?
Right.
I was rooting for the Mavs for Paul's sake because I knew his boy was on the team. So, and plus, I didn't like LeBron's act and that whole him and Bosch and Wade when they came out and
making fun of Nowitzki.
Yeah.
You know what the irony? Well, that was just an atrocity with what LeBron and Wade did to Nowitzki. But the irony was Bosch, who took all this heat for not really being on that level, and he's not. He's a good player. He's not a great player.
Right.
He's not a star. He played great in the series and, for the most part, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And LeBron's the one that let him down. Mm. And Bosch will probably go in the offseason because they need to do something. They don't have the right mix.
Well, I know you don't agree with me, but I think a lot of this, the coach does not know how to coach these guys.
I do agree that the coach is useless. But I don't agree that the coach was the problem in the series.
You think Bosch is leaving Miami? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they'll probably trade him.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because they need to find a real center. They need a different mix of players. My point to you is not that I think Eric Spoelstra is a good coach, because he's not, Fred. But there's not a coach out there who can suddenly have LeBron develop balls in the fourth quarter. That's been a problem for 8 years now.
Yeah.
He will not assert himself and take the ball to the rim when the game is on the line. He doesn't do it.
I just don't think
that's not coaching.
Well, I don't think that they have any set strategy.
Was that not high enough over the cup?
I don't think they have any set strategy for those situations. I think that they all look at each other and no one knows what to do.
If you're a player of like Paul's, to Paul's point, if you're a player of LeBron's caliber, you're supposed to overtake games.
Right. What you're supposed to do is impose your will
right.
on the game.
What did Bird do?
And I agree
what
with
did Jordan
you.
Do? What Eric did Magic
Spoelstra
do?
Eric Spoelstra is clueless. I agree with you 100% on that. I think he's a terrible coach, and he's not helping. A good coach would help them more. You're right about that. My point is, don't blame what happened in this series on Eric Spoelstra.
See, but
this series was all about LeBron.
When you talk about that, right? You talk when the game's on the line.
Yeah.
If you're that type of player, you're supposed to impose your will.
Yeah.
You know, you think of Larry Bird,
and you think of Michael Jordan, and you think of Magic.
Dirk Nowitzki. You know, those are guys that clearly are the leaders of that team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you say. I don't think LeBron, in his heart, feels he's clearly the leader of that team. I think it's still Dwayne Wade. It could be, or that, you know, all year they've been, like, so nice to each other. I'm talking about Dwayne Wade and LeBron. Like,
right.
Each of them probably want to be the leader of the team, but...
Well, I don't think LeBron does.
Well,
I think Dwayne Wade does.
Well, you got LeBron in the back of his head thinking, well, I'm not the guy, you know? And I think that that's bad. He should be thinking I am the guy.
Of course he should.
Right.
They had a damn special on ESPN about whether or not he was going to change teams.
Until he gets to that point, until Dwayne Wade wants to concede that to him or whatever, it comes down to a coach coaching them. And I don't think he does.
I agree with you. I just don't agree with the end result being cause and effect. I agree that the coach does nothing. Nothing to help the situation.
I don't think that they were prepared for
the situation. But it was one of those things that I think, and I'd be curious to know if any, you know, how our listeners feel, because I know that we have Patriots fans, not necessarily Boston fans. But I think that the Miami Heat was one of these polarizing teams that the entire country was rooting against.
Oh, yeah.
Other than South Florida.
I wasn't that much against
North
them.
Florida was rooting against the Miami Heat.
Right.
Forget about the state of Florida. It was just South Florida rooting for Miami.
I wasn't that much against them because in the back of my mind, I felt, well, if they win this championship, then they've achieved what they went about doing.
Mm.
And now you can really hate them because they are that good. Now it's like you laugh at them.
Well, see, that's the part to me is I think now I can be okay now if they ultimately – I mean, I hope he never wins one, but I know he's probably too good. He'll eventually win one. Now it won't bother me as much because they put it all together and they had everything completely for them. Mm. Everything was stacked for them, and they still couldn't win.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
They even started out the season slowly, and everyone was laughing at them. Then they came on strong as the season went on, and you started thinking, oh, maybe they are legit, and then they beat the Celtics in the playoffs.
I know people make a joke of them, but it is an accomplishment, though, to put this team together and get to the championship. I mean, that is saying
in spite
something.
Of their head coach, too.
Well, yeah, but that is saying something that they were, you know, even a lot of teams that are supposed to win don't.
All right, well, let me ask you this. If Pat Riley were coaching this team,
I think it'd be different.
Would they have won?
I think so. I really do.
Really?
Yep.
See, I don't.
I do.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure they would have either.
I think they would have chosen.
Because the players
like
end up ultimately have to make the plays. And if LeBron doesn't want to make the play.
At some point, someone has to go onto the court, and that someone is the best player. You know, supposedly a player who is on par with Michael Jordan,
so
has to go out onto the court and make a play when the game is on the line.
Fred, do you think if Riley were coaching, do you think he would have gone to LeBron or Wade, one of the two, and said, "You're my guy. You need to step up."
I think a good coach has a feeling for the game and they know what to do in the situation. You know, you look at what the trend is, who's doing what, and what the matchups are, and you know. You know,
so if LeBron is hot one game and Wade is hot in another game,
yeah,
and it
you
comes
know where
out,
to go.
You, go, you say, okay, look, LeBron, you're the guy in this game. Or whatever.
Casey Jones wasn't that great a coach.
He was
a
terrible coach.
But you know, it wasn't always Larry Bird. You know, they worked the down low to Kevin McHale when the other team adjusted. Then they'd go outside. Danny Ainge.
Right. They did that without coaching because the players weren't. Meows and all that.
No, but I think everyone knew their role and they, you know, they tried things. You know, if McHale has that matchup, we're not going to force it to Bird. Bird's going to pick up a ton of assists because he's going to be feeding McHale.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's not working, you got Parrish.
But you're making it sound like the reason they couldn't exploit these matchups was because Eric Spoelstra didn't see them.
I think
they had those matchups the whole game, and they were up 15 with 5 minutes left.
I just don't think he's doing what he needs to do on the sideline.
I don't think he's a good coach, just like I don't think Casey Jones was a good coach.
Right. And I agree. I don't think coaching has that much of an effect in basketball, like obviously football.
But in this series, you think it did.
That's what made it so striking.
Series, it did.
That's what made it so striking to me is in basketball, talent wins 99% of the time because there are so few players.
Yes. But, you know, I think that. If you want to do the coaching matchup, Rick Carlisle had a big edge in coaching.
He was excellent the way he maneuvered his bench and switched the starting lineup in the middle of the you know, to get my guy in there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And to counter.
But all of that wouldn't have worked if they had just said, hey, they have Jason Kidd, who's 111 years old, trying to guard LeBron.
Hmm.
I think we might be able to take advantage
that
of that.
That might be a mismatch.
But LeBron refuses to take him to the hole.
Yeah.
It's just. You can't blame that on Spoelstra.
And on the flip side, Nowitzki had some great fourth quarters where he came up huge, especially the game
LeBron
when...
LeBron played 6 fourth quarters in the finals and scored 18 total points.
Nowitzki had like
at least
14
10
in
every fourth quarter. I mean, he had some bad games shooting-wise.
Sure.
He was like 6 for 19 in one game.
But you wouldn't
doubt.
I think
he was even worse in game 6.
But when
but
it
when
mattered...
When the fourth quarter comes around,
that's
finds a way.
Absolutely. Paul says, for me, the Miami Heat is like Nancy Pelosi. The only people that like her live in her district. It's a good analogy.
Very good analogy.
You know?
Exactly.
Are you okay with that?
Sure.
That Nancy Pelosi bashing?
Sure.
I know you like her.
I love her.
You probably think she's hot.
I love her.
Do you think she's hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the eye surgery. That's good stuff. She
doesn't blink like that Hale Bopp guy from several years ago, Marshall Applewhite.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Not Major
Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, said he's going to do something better than championship rings.
And so you suggested.
Well, no, I didn't suggest, but I'm trying to think what it might be. In the old days, they used to give guys pocket fobs, which were like sort of medallions that you put on your pocket watch chain.
What do they need Friends of Bill for?
You know, what's that?
Fobs. Not those Friends of Bill?
Friends of Bill, right. But I doubt that's what he's thinking.
Because who wears a pocket watch nowadays?
Well, I was thinking championship belt type thing.
Yeah.
But
Aaron Rodgers like?
But as a player, I would want something
I would want a ring.
I could wear out. I would want a ring.
I would want a ring.
But maybe I'm not thinking of something even better. I don't know what he has in mind. You know?
I don't either. But did you hear he got a $90,000 bottle of champagne?
Jeez. Wow.
Why does it cost that much anyway?
Why would a bottle?
I forget the name of it, but I'm sure strippers.
Is it centuries old?
What was it there?
Well, they said he ordered a bunch of rosé.
Well, there was one bottle that was $90,000. Yes, and it was huge. It was big. It wasn't just an average.
It's a Magnum.
Okay. They needed like four guys to carry it out or something like that.
I think I saw Dirk drinking out of it.
And it was Dirk, Terry, I think Sean Marion. It was four guys. I think that. But how much better did the $90,000 bottle of champagne taste than the $500 bottle?
I don't know. I'd like to try and see.
You could have. You would have been an employee.
Sure.
You see, Cuban also said to Dallas, the city of Dallas, that he wants to pay for the parade. He doesn't think the city should have to pay for
that. Wow. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
Eric, I was half waiting when he got up to speak, you know, with the commissioner and on the stage and with all the, you know, confetti and everything. I was kind of waiting for him to say Fred Kirsch, who really got me started.
He was an inspiration to me early in my career.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping for.
I was going to tweet it out, but then I realized there's only about five people that know
I'm the one who said, get out of technology, get into sports. So. But he's living, I mean, that guy's living large, huh?
Are you kidding me?
Holy mackerel.
Are you kidding me?
He's got the life we all want.
What he's been the last, can you imagine what his life's been like the last 48 hours?
I heard in his house he's got a full court basketball court.
How many in the house? How many of these emails are you going to send out, Kevin? That's three now I've gotten from
you. What is he doing?
Three of these, PFW
in progress is live. Doesn't one suffice?
No, I haven't sent three. I'm sending a few to Fred because people are writing questions on the
Why are you getting angry?
Because that's what we do on the show.
Angry Eric is back.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com is email address 508-298-0398. It's kind of quiet on the Patriots front. Tom Brady's left town. So no more workouts. Coaches are off. Actually, I think they've actually left the building. This is their normal time.
Yes.
For taking time off.
This would have been the end of mini camp.
Yep. So they've left. So it's very quiet here from a football front.
Mm-hmm.
All we can hope for is that these Eastern Maryland meetings, add up to something.
Right, by July 10th or later.
Right.
So. But not too much later.
All right, so we'll be back. And, I have to tell people how my first foray into crime fighting went. All right, we'll do that when we come back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brooks! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault.
It's
no,
you. That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking about. You're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Andy's on vacation.
Thank God.
Summer of Andy, every Tuesday.
And Friday. Yeah.
Well, we don't do a show on Friday, so our listeners don't care. But, hey, by the way, did you guys check out the Cheer 365 yet?
I did.
If people don't know what I'm talking about, yesterday on Patriots.com, we launched a new kind of fun little, you know, way to pass the time. We took every cheerleading swimsuit photo that we've ever taken, and we loaded it into this engine, and you can go and it randomly pairs up two photos, and you just vote on who's hotter, and just keep doing it. And on the bottom, you see, like, the current rankings about, you know, who's the hottest.
This is straight out of The Social Network.
Yeah. And it's pretty fun. After the first day, the average user clicked 70 times. So, and there's, like, thousands of combinations because I think we have over...
Dude, that wasn't even counting Andy.
Yeah.
Right.
We have over 250 different photos, so... Mm-hmm. You know, you think of all the combinations.
This
there.
Is on Patriots.com.
On Patriots.com. You can go. It's being promoted right now off the homepage.
See, Eric hasn't had time because he's writing the whole
thing. I am. So after I write my commentary after the show, then I'll yeah. take part.
And it's kind of funny because the old photos, like, you know, before we put
These are just swimsuit photos?
Well, or are they, no, because in the old days, the calendar wasn't – well, we had it, but they would put them in denim – you know, shorts or something like that.
One, like the second or third click yesterday for me popped up. There was two
what
girls,
up?
Two what? Girls Uh-oh. In like winter, like Christmas sweaters,
right?
In ice skates.
And the one next to her is like this hot blonde, you know?
Yeah, you know, with
in
her
a bikini.
Boobs pressed up, you know, right. pushed together. And
hey, girl.
Kind of like that swimsuit.
So if
over
you're
there.
Bored at work, we'll bore you stiff.
Oh, didn't.
I get the disapproving look from Paul.
Well, it wasn't funny.
Oh.
It was funny.
It was Andy-like funny, which so is to say not
funny.
Funny.
It was funny for Fred.
Which is to say not funny.
So that's Cheer 365 being promoted on Patriots.com now.
All right.
Every year we'll just keep adding more photos to it. And
I will investigate this afternoon.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, at what point do you start getting calls from like the 95, 96 cheerleaders saying, can you please take me out of that?
Well, they signed an agreement. We own the photos.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So...
So, in other words, Fred's already looked into it.
Let's see.
He's already had complaints.
Kevin says the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Miami Heat last night in a Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and Dirk Nowitzki celebrated by bringing out a $90,000 magnum of Ace of Spades.
There you go.
LIV nightclub in Miami was packed full of celebrities reveling over the dramatic win last night's dramatic game, toasting to Dirk and the rest of the Mavs.
90 grand.
So is that one bottle? But it's an oversized bottle, right?
Yeah, Magnum is big.
So I was right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Those of you at home,
I
don't know if it takes four people to carry it.
The magnitude.
I have to get that as a drop. Magnum is big.
Magnum is big.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like that document, the Magnum Carta?
Mini. Small.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean in Salt Lake's on the phone. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, I have a real complaint. All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is like the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and now by the supposed experts, Green Bay is supposed to win 3 of the next 4 Super Bowls. Green Bay barely even made it in the playoffs, and Rodgers isn't even in the top 5 of quarterbacks in the league.
Well, okay. Here's
Rodgers isn't in the top 5 quarterbacks in the league?
I disagree with that. The second thing is, when you take, I think what the experts are saying about forecasting is Green Bay was hit with a lot of injuries.
Yes, they were. Including two Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah.
And despite that, you know, they went all the way.
Which is why they snuck into the playoffs.
Right. So I guess they're thinking, you know, assuming health is better than it was in 2011, they should be the favorites. And I can't disagree with that. But as we know, things change.
Favorites don't mean anything. Yeah. We all know that. The Patriots have been favorites. Well, they've been underdogs.
I was going to say, Paul, when they, in 2004, when they, or 2003, when they won the second Super Bowl,
they
people were making the same type. No, but people were starting to make the same kind of projections about Brady and the Patriots.
And when you talk about top quarterbacks, I mean, it's Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Manning, and you got to put Rodgers in that group.
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
You know? I couldn't agree more.
Well, I would say Rodgers is a good quarterback.
Great.
But I could think, I honestly wouldn't put him in the top 5. I'd put him maybe top 6 or top 7.
Okay, so he's number 6. So who's number 5 after? So
Brady Manning, and
Brady,
Breeze.
Manning, Breeze, and Rivers. Would you agree those are the 4, the top 4?
Yeah, I would put Rodgers ahead of Rivers, but yeah, I think those are my 5.
I would put Rivers right behind Brady. I think he's the second best quarterback.
Okay, but those are the 4 guys. So who's number 5 after those 4?
I would put Vic before Rodgers.
No way. Not even, no.
But yet Rodgers went to Philadelphia and beat Vic.
Right.
In the playoffs.
You know, yeah, I mean, okay, so then you would put Rodgers right after Vic at number
Yeah, roughly, but okay.
That's fine, though. I mean, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah,
you know,
but so he is.
So you
still
think he's a great quarterback. You just, you know, you don't have him 5, you have him 6. That's fine.
Where everybody else has him 1.
Well, I don't think anybody
has
won.
Got him one.
Tom
nobody
Brady is the reigning unanimous NFL MVP. That's one.
I've read it through on Yahoo Sports. I've read it on Pro Football Talk, NFL.com.
Yeah, but Tom Brady is the reigning, in other words, the current unanimous NFL MVP.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's not that many people that think that Rodgers is better than Brady right now.
And when the conversation comes up, it's always Manning, Brady, Brady, Manning.
50 AP voters got to vote, and all 50 of them picked Tom Brady as the MVP and the quarterback on the AP All-Pro team.
Yeah.
Right. So there's not that many guys out there that think Aaron Rodgers right now is better than Tom Brady. I'm not saying no one does, but there aren't many.
What's that, Sean?
It was just annoying the hell out of me.
But you got to look at the overall thing. You know, when one guy writes it, you can't look and paint a broad brush with a broad brush, you know.
You also have to consider that when a team wins a Super Bowl,
generally
that team gets picked as the favorite to win next year's Super Bowl. That quarterback usually gets all the attention
in
the offseason.
Sort of,
it's a natural thing.
Yeah, they look at who's going to be free agents. And, you know.
And this has been a progression for Aaron Rodgers, by the
healthy,
way.
Yes.
If New England was completely healthy, like they're saying if they were completely healthy, New England would have wiped the planet with whoever they played last year.
Maybe not. I don't know about that.
Who are the guys that were making the difference?
And you're talking about Lee Bodden.
Yeah.
You know,
and those are the guys that were going to make the difference?
What?
I mean, and my personal opinion is New England, if they would have been playing Green Bay in the Super Bowl, they would have won.
When they played in Foxborough, when Aaron Rodgers didn't play and the game went down to the final play of the game, That doesn't tell you that Green Bay was pretty good?
Oh, I'll give it that Green Bay's good.
But you just said that the Patriots would have wiped the floor with them. I mean, they couldn't wipe the floor with them without Aaron Rodgers.
This isn't like 2006 when the Patriots would have definitely won against
the Chicago Bears.
It's
a continuation of the thing that I like to sort of
Patriots
tease
are undefeated
everybody
in
about.
Games that they've never played?
Exactly.
Right.
Patriots are undefeated in all-time games in which they didn't play.
Right, but I think the Packers are for real. I think their defense is underestimated when you talk about the Packers. They had a lot of injuries. They had no running game.
What even got them to the playoffs?
But they had a lot of injuries. Ryan Grant was out early. They really had no running game to speak of for one game. That rookie had a good game, and that was it. Other than that, it was all Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Paul talked about his progression. And really, for Rodgers, it has been all about confidence. And I think when analysts look at this guy, they only see him going up because now he's got that confidence that he lacked. And I think that was the only thing keeping him back, you know, in the past. And now that he's got it, I think he's on an upward trajectory. And I think he will even get better than he is now.
And that might not happen. That might not happen this season either, because a lot of times, like even Brady after 2001, he had the confidence, but he was kind of maybe a little overconfident, did a little too much in the off season, kind of admitted that 2002 wasn't that great a year.
You need to get
him
a running game, you know.
And, I thought he was better in 2002 than he was in 2001.
You need to get him a running game, and
but they didn't make the playoffs,
you know, so that he doesn't think that he has to win every game himself, you know. All right, Sean.
You guys have a good day.
All right,
thanks, Sean.
All right.
Sean eating potato chips while he's on the
too much pro football focus for Sean. He's been reading it too.
Well, that pro football focus, is that all they do is just throw stuff against the wall?
Well, that's what you want us to do.
No, but I want fact-based research.
They wrote that whole column about how Rodgers should have got the MVP over Brady and then how he was.
No, listen,
you can make that argument.
I have a ton of respect for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a terrific quarterback. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to denigrate him in any way. I just, you know, to me, last year, Tom Brady was the hands down MVP.
Yeah. Look, and you know, again,
and obviously, the rest of the voting media felt the same way.
Even though the MVP wasn't announced until Super Bowl week, the voting ended with the regular season.
Yes.
I think obviously, if you go into the postseason, Rodgers probably would get it. You know, based on
if you include the postseason.
If you include the postseason.
Right.
But that's not included.
That's not included.
And so then Brady is the unanimous MVP.
They had the best record in the league. He was the major reason why, of course.
But you can make a case for Rodgers being MVP.
You can make the case for a lot of guys.
For Michael Vick.
To me,
it's
such a I'm not going to get into the MVP talk that Fred and I always get into, but it's really such a subjective thing because what one person's criteria is may be totally different than another's. And you know, we can talk about that all day, but yeah, you can make an argument for a lot of different guys. Phillip Rivers kept that San Diego team afloat for a while. Now they didn't make the playoffs, so you're not going to give a guy like that the MVP. But there's guys that were instrumentally important to their teams beyond just Brady. Now, to me, I can't imagine the Patriots last year going into Lambeau Field and losing 31-28 or whatever the final score was, 31-27.
I don't remember
at Lambeau Field,
like
without Tom Brady.
Right,
I can't see that. Now, I'm not saying the Patriots would not win a game with Brian Hoyer as the quarterback. They would find a way to beat the teams that they were better than, just like they did when Matt Castle quarterbacked in 08.
Right,
but I don't see them taking a Super Bowl caliber team on the road without Brady and going down to the last possession the way that Green Bay did here without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Now, again, you can't say that with any certainty. It didn't happen. It's a hypothetical. Just my opinion.
Yep.
But to say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve to be talked about in those circles, I think is a little unfair.
Sure.
I think, like you said, Fred, we were talking, it's a natural progression for him. He came in, he sat for a couple of years, then he got some start. Now he has experience. Now he's been through some of those things. He used to take a lot of sacks. Well, he's still doesn't have a ton of protection, but has learned to sort of get rid of the ball a little bit better and be more efficient. I got to tell you, if his receivers could catch the ball in that Super Bowl, that might have been the all-time Super Bowl performance that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson, my God, he must have dropped three perfect passes in that game.
And, you know, and as a team, I think I recall the Packers saying that they kind of found out who they were in that game here in Foxborough. That, you know, despite losing, they realized
it might be like the Patriots game when they lost to the Rams.
Exactly.
In the regular season in 01.
That's right. So, you know, once again, the Patriots have a hand in another team's success.
Sure.
The Patriots way. Yeah.
Sure. Speaking of the Patriots way, Freddie.
Yeah.
I'll inject a little news. I was poking around on Pro Football Talk. Keith Bullock, did you see that item?
No.
Linebacker, great linebacker from Tennessee, you know, played for Tennessee for years.
Yeah.
Been injured. Came back last year and played
Giants.
For the Giants, played about 13 games, you know, a few starts, was okay, more of a part-time player last year. Well, He says that he is interested in playing for – he's a free agent. Interested in playing for one of three teams. And
one of them is
– one's the Giants because he says he owes it to the Giants because mm-hmm.
They gave me a chance.
One is the Detroit Lions, and that makes sense because Jim Schwartz was the old defensive coordinator from the Titans.
Right.
So he has a great relationship with him. And, of course, the Patriots. And he said they're veteran-friendly, and you know that every year they're going to be in contention. And that's what he wants to do.
Now, Bullock was a defensive lineman, and he was
linebacker.
Linebacker. Outside?
He's more of an inside guy, but he played 4-3.
Yeah, he's
played
outside.
He'd be an inside guy in the 4-3. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not exactly Bill Belichick when it comes to breaking down what a guy's talents would lend itself to. But
does he have anything left?
I don't. That's a good question. I don't know exactly what he has left, but he's a veteran guy who the way he put it, he's looking to get into a situation where he can put himself back on the map to make money. So he's looking for probably a 1-year deal to show everybody that he's healthy and can be productive, and then he's looking to cash in somewhere. He still thinks he can be one of the best defensive players in football.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if
that might be
if
a little
case, but
optimistic.
I'd kick the tires if Belichick thinks that he can play in the 3-4. I would look into that because he's a veteran who might be able to help you out, and maybe he has some versatility like Roman Pfeiffer. That's what I'm thinking, is a Roman Pfeiffer type guy, where he might be able to play inside, play outside, help you out in sub packages, and do some different things.
Yeah, I think he
guy's
could definitely
been very
do that.
Productive throughout
See, I
his
thought,
career.
I remember Bullock, you know, playing outside a little bit.
He did.
You know, rushing the pass.
He did play outside a little bit.
In a 4-3. That's not...
Right. Well, it's different.
It's not the same.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Earlier, I mentioned that I tried to have my first foray.
Okay. Here we go. Organic moment,
as
Paul.
As the Jake Steele Cadillac
crime fighter. Yeah.
Yesterday morning, I'm pulling out of my driveway and backing out, and this guy... And you know my street. It's a... narrow, windy street.
Yep. No lights.
Yeah. So
a lot of trees.
This guy comes tearing down.
Gated community.
Yeah. I drive fast, but this guy was screaming.
Well, you drive fast in parking lots.
Right. Well, this guy
not necessarily on the road.
Screaming down my road in a little like Toyota, whatever. And so I figured, you know what? I'm going to track this guy down. So I pull out and I start tearing after him. But then I realized that Monday was garbage day and I forgot to bring the garbage out. So I had to stop and go back home and bring the garbage out.
So you ended your own...
So that was it?
That was it.
What a letdown that story was. I thought for sure that was going to be... So I tracked the guy down, and then the guy looks at me, and I looked at him, and the guy was a mountain.
No.
So I just said, hey, how you doing?
I'm halfway down the street, and I'm like, damn, Monday. I forgot to bring the garbage out, so I had to turn... So, you know, my crime fighting was...
And you want to be my crime fighter.
My crime fighter was thwarted by my household duties.
I don't think so.
So, anyway, I guess that wasn't as good as it...
Typical curse, though.
Yeah. So he got away. But I'm looking out for him.
He got away. Did you get a plate?
No.
He was that's another
no.
Another good, another
I'm
good
telling
curse
you,
moment.
This guy was screaming.
I lied. The story's getting better.
This guy was screaming. I got out, you know, when I got out of the driveway, he was like gone. So I was trying to tear after him, and I figured I'd catch up to him at the stop sign.
All right, we know where your street is. How far did you get before you realized you had to turn around and put the garbage back? Did you even get to the stop sign?
No.
Oh.
I got to, you know, to the next road where I had to turn around.
Didn't even make it to the stop sign.
No. If I had made it to the stop sign, I would have been able to catch up to him.
It's kind of like me when I decide I'm going to work out. I don't even make it to like
when
the first set
that.
Of exercises. Every once in a while, it hits me.
No, but this
lift these up and put them down.
This guy was screaming. He's going to kill somebody. So,
did you recognize that he was someone in the neighborhood?
No, I'm telling you, the guy was moving. I barely had a chance to.
I like to give those guys the fist pump. You know, like, usually I'm on the highway, though, so it's a little different than Fred's story. But when the guy just comes, you know, usually you're driving and you're going like 75 on the highway.
Yeah, or 80 or more.
Or like Eric, like a bat out of hell. But, you know, and someone will just come flying by you like you're standing still. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, that guy's got to be going 90.
Right.
And you just give him the fist pump. Yeah, yeah, faster. Wrap yourself right into a pole. Yeah, you know.
Right.
I've never done that, Paul. But I can imagine that you have.
I always hope they get pulled over. I'm like waiting.
So I don't want to see. I don't want him to get pulled over, especially if I see this guy like just driving by himself. There's like no one in the car.
Yeah.
I want him to hit a guardrail.
Wow.
I do.
That's another level then.
Yeah, that is another level. This is because from the man who wants to beat someone up and, until they stop breathing.
Because I always look at those guys like they're endangering everybody around them, so they need to stop. And that's how you stop. As long as you just hurt yourself, that's the way I look at it.
Well, you could also look at it that if he gets pulled over ahead of you, then that decreases that's your chances of getting pulled
but
over.
But that's not going to stop him from endangering people.
Just all like, I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore. But,
that's the most overrated drop we ever had.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
You guys would all have done the same thing if you were there.
Thomas from Nova Scotia writes in, the other day I was watching NFL Network and saw an interview with Steve Spagnuolo, and he spoke about how he and his coaching staff have been having practices at their facilities for both the coaching and equipment staff using people who work in the offices in their buildings as players. How funny would that be if Bill just walked into your office and said, all right, D-line, let's go. What madness would ensue?
If he was coaching PFW, that would be a great feature, would it not?
I would insist on being on vacation for that.
That would be funny. So you're getting practice coaching and, you know, using live dummies.
That'd be hilarious.
And in our case, it really would be live dummies. Yeah. Bill writes in, this is from Facebook, the Facebook page. He says, they say we get a petition going and to say that we feel Tom should cut his hair as soon as the lockout is over and donate it to Locks of Love. It would be for a great cause, and we could finally not have to see that damn almost ponytail. It would make him look like a great, thoughtful, and caring guy and end our misery at the same time. Who's with me? And P.S., we could get Edelman to join in as well.
Edelman, I think, is more likely to do that. You'd have to petition Giselle, I think, for that.
I love Dick.
Brady
well.
Did get his hair cut. I told you that.
Yeah.
It's some of them.
It's not short now, but it's definitely...
got rid of those loose ends?
It's significantly shorter than it was. Still a little unruly.
Yeah,
a little?
But yeah, he admitted that he cut it.
Sure.
Say so he trimmed it.
Yeah.
Cutting it, you know.
He said a little one. Yeah. A little bit, I think he said. A little bit.
Pierre writes in, also from Facebook, he says, I just thought of a theory, however far-fetched. Could it be that Belichick drafted Razai Dowling to then trade Bodden, because of his high salary, to a cornerback needy team and get a pass rusher of the same value in return? Kevin, please pass on my theory to the show, which he did. I don't think he planned
to do that. No.
Not saying that couldn't happen, but that's not
the
reason.
That wasn't
the plan. Yeah.
No.
That's not the reason. And we mentioned the Cheer 365. TG and NJ said, hey, Fred, slip in some PFW pictures into the 365 mix just to shake things up. That would really shake things up if all of a sudden you see, you know, Eric next to one of the cheerleaders in a bathing suit.
Maybe we should
put you in a bathing suit, Eric, and put you in there.
Well, of the four of us, I have the best physique to
do
that.
Right, you wear the Speedo when you're on the road and you swim in the pool?
No, I don't wear a Speedo, no.
You're nude?
No.
Oh.
No, I wear surfing trunks.
Did you just hear him say that, you know, he had the best physique?
Yeah, but that's not.
Well, I do.
That's not conducive to swimming, surfing trunks.
You're the thinnest.
Right.
You're not worried about.
That's
time.
All I'll say.
I have a musculature about me.
You do?
Yeah.
I must have missed it.
He's pretty lean.
I'm lean and muscular.
You use a different word for it. I said he's the thinnest. You say he's lean.
You know, it's magnum Sorry. Means big,
right?
Paul.
TG also wants to know, is Kevin Faulk on the roster this season?
No. And that's funny he brings that up.
You say no?
I say yes.
He brings that up. That's going to be our debate in the paper.
On account of I was contractually obligated to do so.
Come on now. You gave me the option. We agreed on that.
Why do you say no, Eric?
Because I just don't think he's going to have it anymore. I know he's going to try. It's going to be a lot like, I think, Teddy Bruschi a couple of years ago. He's going to make the effort. He's going to come to camp. And at some point, I think he's going to realize that it's time to say goodbye with dignity.
Didn't he have a quote recently that said, retirement isn't in my vocabulary?
Right now.
Right.
Yes, right now.
Yep.
Camp hasn't started. When camp starts and he gets back on the field and he sees guys like Vereen and Dowling, Ridley and some of these other players, I think he's going to realize that it's probably best for him to call it a career. That's how I felt when I saw him get injured back in September of last year, and that's how I still feel now.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it could go either way. I think you can make the positives would be, you know, you do have these two young rookies that could stand to have some guidance from a veteran like Faulk. I think you know that he is a team player and that he won't be one of those guys that's going to be all disgruntled behind the scenes about a diminished role.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him help Danny Woodhead last year, and you might argue and say, well, he was hurt. He couldn't play, so it was easier for him to do that. But I just think that's Kevin Faulk. I think that's his nature, is that he's a team player
right.
through and through. I think he would do his best to help out. And I also think that there's a possibility that you don't exactly know for sure how Danny Woodhead is going to be in year two.
I agree with that.
I have faith that he is a good football player. But, you know, I'm wondering now that the teams are going to have some time to sort of adjust to the way the Patriots used him last year. You know, who knows? Maybe he's a little bit less effective and you need another guy to help out in that role. I personally would welcome Kevin back, but...
Oh, I would welcome him back. I just don't think he's going to have
it, Paul. I'm not sure he's going to have... Well, physically, I think he'll be fine. I just don't know if they'll need him.
Yeah.
Physically. I don't know if they'll need to have a fifth running back.
He's definitely, you know...
Because you got to figure the other four are stone-cold locks.
Yeah, he was never a guy that's going to beat with his speed, and he's lost a step. So that's the main thing. I think
And he's not going to be your punt returner because Edelman's got that
job.
Yeah,
picking up the blitz, all the little things that he's always done well, he'll continue to do well. But I think, you know, he doesn't have the speed, even what he had before. And now we don't even know how this injury has affected him. So it'll be tough.
I bring it back to the Brewski analogy. I think he's going to come in and give it a shot. And I think he's just going to see that it's probably the right time.
I want him around, though. Don't you want him around?
I wouldn't mind having him around.
Yeah.
Like Paul said, last year he was front and center. He was
He came on trips.
He was productive.
Even though he wasn't playing.
Exactly.
I want him around in some capacity. So
me, not so much. He makes fun of me too much.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. He's one of the best guys that we've had.
Yep.
In the 12 years I've been here, one of the best guys to deal with on a consistent basis.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Especially when you get him one-on-one.
Yep. Simon writes in from the UK, hey guys and Chaz, I've been listening for a couple of years now, and the podcast last week was the tipping point. I had to write into the front office. Only on your show could I find up-to-date Patriots and NFL news, while at the same time find out that Andy leaves messes in his pants and the toilet for his wife to clean up, and Fred was a part-time porn star. Just outstanding work. You've made me laugh out loud so many times. I especially love it when I laugh out loud when I'm in the vicinity of my wife. And she knows I'm on my iPod. She just looks at me with contempt, and sometimes I even get a, you're listening to those crazy Americans again, aren't you? Oh, yes, I'll never stop listening as long as you guys and Chaz keep producing. Hopefully I'll be over for the Monday Night Football game against the Chiefs with the other UK Pats members. Keep up the great work.
At which time I will beat you until you stop breathing if you continue to call me Chaz.
Oh, now Eric is threatening violence against listeners.
I
always learn, Eric, you should never threaten things that you're not ready to back up.
Like chasing someone down who drove by you too fast?
Well, I was ready, but I just forgot the garbage.
Good, Paul.
I forgot the garbage.
I was doing a lot of tweeting last night during the game, Freddie.
Better hope your house isn't on fire when Fred comes to try to save the day. Oh, man, forgot the garbage.
Did I leave the iron on? Yeah. So in the middle of the third period, someone tweeted me asking Andy and I, because we were both tweeting, how come Chaz wasn't watching the game? I said hockey was too physical for him.
Oh, wow.
Beat you. You stop breathing too, Perillo.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't.
Screw you, bitch.
If I stop breathing, it's only going to be because of the pastrami that I'm eating right now gets caught somewhere.
You're out of shape, that's why.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
Is it?
Pro Football Talk reports that the Colts have hired Dennis Polian or Polian.
Yeah,
no nepotism there.
Some kind of operation.
Now, this is another son?
Yeah. Chris is the one that took over for Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's two Polians plus the father is still there.
Right. It's a pride of Polians.
I guess Ursay's okay with that. But
Rimshot, idiot, what are you doing?
God almighty.
You have to produce the show, too?
I guess that's all right, right? I don't know.
Well, you don't hate those Polians with as much.
No, I don't really know them.
Intensity as you do. Well,
I mean, it's obvious nepotism, but
oh yeah,
that goes on in every
sure.
Every team does that stuff. You remember we were looking at all the stuff around the time the lockout first started, and we were going around all the different teams, and you saw, like, you know, owner William Bidwell, you know, vice president, you know, some other Bidwell, and I mean, some other Bidwell Jr.
If your dad owns a team, I mean, aren't you, like, saying, I'm working there?
Yeah.
I mean, where else do you want to work?
I wasn't being serious,
no,
Fred.
No, I'm not saying that to you.
Hmm. I'm just asking if we had a problem with it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's all.
Of course not.
It depends on the capacity, too.
Although, yeah. Now, if you're going to put the guy, you know, I think there's a little bit of a difference between those kinds of, this is an operations job.
Right.
Now, if this guy is unqualified and you're putting him, you know, you're making him, you know, offensive coordinator because, you know, he has a good Strat-O-Matic team. Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit different. Now you're toying with, you know, the fortunes of your team. I can't imagine in the capacity that this guy, Dennis Polian, has been in that he's going to do a whole lot to affect wins and losses.
Right.
TG and NJ, speaking of Kevin Faulk, Ross Tucker this morning on Sirius NFL put forth the argument that Kevin Faulk was the best third down back ever in the history of the league. What do you guys say?
Think you can make that argument?
You can make an argument for that. I agree.
Huh.
Because he's been, for the most part, he's been durable. I mean, he had his struggles in the beginning with holding onto the football, but he became more reliable. He could carry the ball as a, if you needed him in a pinch, he could carry the ball as a feature back. He's done that. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He was a punt returner.
Kick returner.
You can make that argument.
I guess I have to.
I don't know if he's the best, but you can make the argument.
He's good at pass protection.
Yep.
You have guys like Brian Mitchell.
David Meggett.
You know, even, you know, Eric Metcalf.
Right.
Were any of those guys as good blockers, though?
Sure. He's got, I mean, Brian Mitchell.
Pass protection blocker.
Brian Mitchell might have been the best at all of that stuff. You know, there's a lot of guys that have done well in that role. I think you can certainly make an argument that Kevin Faulk is the best, but, you know, he's certainly in a handful of of players that warrant that.
And he's done it for a while. You know, there's a lot of third down backs that have come in, and they did it for a couple years, and then they kind of fade off.
Like I said, he's had longevity.
The longevity of these running backs isn't long, and he's done it for a while. So you factor that in.
There's more guys that do it for a while than you think.
Really?
You know, guys like Darren Sproles today has been doing it for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I would argue that Kevin, you know, there's
double
probably,
digits is a long time, though, especially for a running back.
There's probably different guys that have that excel in different things. You know, like Darren Sproles is probably not as good a pass protector as Kevin Faulk. Kevin Faulk, I know, is not as good a runner with the football as Darren Sproles. You know, this, you know, Brian Mitchell, Dave Meggett, those guys did it for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Mitchell was around forever.
Yeah. Greg from the billing
department. Even a guy like Larry Centers, who we had late in his career.
Yeah, but I was thinking of Centers, but didn't he also play in first and second down, too?
No.
No? He was primarily.
Well, no more than Kevin Faulk did.
Okay, I thought he was
he
more
was more
of an every
fullback
down
too,
player.
Though, wasn't he?
He was definitely a fullback, but he was a third down back, is what he was. He caught passes. He didn't necessarily slam into people like Sam Gash.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. He was a fullback.
Greg from the billing department. What a game last night! Now we have to actually start burying shots in Vancouver. Either way, I think we're taking Game 7 tomorrow night. It has been pure domination in this series. Vancouver is lucky to still be in it.
Yep.
The Bruins have dominated at home and have also had a chance to win every game in Vancouver. Even though this series is tied at three games, it is definitely not tied in gameplay. Screw the Canucks. They're a dirty, cheap-shot Canadian team. Paul, not all people from South Florida were rooting for the Heat. I lost all respect for them and Wade in the Boston series when Wade blatantly fouled and hurt Rondo, but decided to get up and argue the call, not check out the player he just hurt. Screw the Heat. They all probably held and touched each other after Game 6 while crying and playing circle jerk on Spoelstra. With Spoelstra.
The coach.
I'm pretty sure you can't say that. Just so you know.
Circle jerk?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can't say it twice either.
Especially, you know, on Spoelstra.
Oh. When you guys make your way down here in South Florida, we should get together for a drink or seven. Let me know.
Paul goes with seven.
Yep. So, okay, we'll see.
I would, but I won't be there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But just you and me, Fred.
Yeah. Let's see. Peter from Surrey.
Now he's going to rescind the offer.
Wants us to get Skype. It would be really great for us overseas fans to be able to call in, particularly for your pregame show. We'll talk about it.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Is that an easy thing to do?
I don't know. We'll see.
Good. About the director of interactive media.
I think we'd have to have definitely a separate number for it. So we'd have to have, like, the Skype number.
It's all right. We have an email. We have a Facebook. We have different ways to get in touch.
But then the question is, you know, okay, so they're using Skype to call in. Well, I guess you could do Skype without video, too. I'm just thinking out loud. All right, never mind.
It's doable. But time's running out, probably.
Sure. Let's see. Ricardo in Somerville writes in, hey, guys, this is my first email since I sent those topless Brooklyn Decker pictures for Andy. Thank you very much. Anyway, I came across an interesting stat from Football Outsiders. They charted all broken tackles from this year, and by their count, they had the second-best tackle percentage at 99.2. The Patriots did, second to Clay Matthews. Oh, Gerard Mayo did. Well, we talked about this last show, and you guys poo-pooed it.
Yes.
You don't like Gerard Mayo.
No, that's not what we said. We talked about last week that James Sanders led the Patriots in missed tackles.
Which safeties. Was an abomination.
Oh, was it the whole team or safeties?
The team.
I believe it was the whole team.
Yeah.
The Patriots ranked very highly in fewest missed tackles overall as a team. But Sanders had 7 and Brandon Merriweather had 4. That's what we poo-pooed. Nothing about Gerard Mayo. His name never came up last week when you said this.
His name only came up.
And I'm not surprised, by the way.
We were talking about how many tackles he made.
Because that is what Mayo does. He's a very short tackler. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Let's see. Anthony in Naples is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
Oh, wow. That is perfect timing that you bring up Mayo.
Okay.
Because I actually called in when you guys were talking about the Bullock thing. And I find that interesting. But, you know, what I feel like nobody's bringing up, and I think it's pretty important in my mind, since Mayo is not doing the job, like, sure, he's a great tackler and whatnot, but I think there needs to be a sense of attitude coming out of that middle linebacker spot. And I feel like the guy we need to look at is Spikes to make that huge year two jump to do that.
It would be a huge year two jump in if he took a leadership role that way.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I think what you're looking for, Anthony, is that Jack Lambert type of, you know, crazy middle linebacker.
And Spikes has a little bit of a history of being
an
excitable player, shall we say.
Yeah, I think he didn't take that role, obviously, because of the suspension, and he was a rookie. And I think, you know, he kind of knew his role, as in, like, hey, you know, rookie, you can't come in there and start barking orders. And it's not even a matter of barking orders, because I'm fine with Mayo being that, like, silent leader, and, you know, he kind of organizes everything.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that guy that goes out there and just, like, has an attitude, lays down the hits, you know what I mean? That
like Bruschi used to have.
Yeah.
But, or like Rodney Harrison used to have. When he was on...
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
When Rodney was on the field.
We need, we need that. You know, the Patriots need that in the middle linebacker spot. And, you know, I always look back, because sometimes they'll play it on the NFL Network, and it was like, you know, before the playoff game with the Jets. And they show Wilfork trying to take that role, you know what I mean, trying to rally the troops on defense.
Yep.
I love Wilfork, don't get me wrong. But to me, it's just like he didn't command that role. There was something about it. It's just like, I didn't get fired up listening to him. You know, he doesn't play that.
By his own admission, that's not the kind of player he is.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Anthony, in that the Patriots could use a little bit more of that. I'm not sure Spikes is a guy, not because of his personality. I think that is his personality. I think you need to be on the field more.
Yeah.
And he might not be that guy. And I'm not sure that he's an every down player.
So hopefully this year he'll be on the field more and he'll be able to set that tone.
Well, I don't think he's an every down player. That's just my opinion. I think he's a run stopper. And Mayo was an every down linebacker. I think it's more incumbent on him to do that kind of stuff. I totally agree with you. I think the Patriots could use that more of a rah-rah. I mean, yeah, I don't want to overstate it, but I can see what you're saying, that the Patriots could use a little of that kind of leadership. I definitely can understand that.
And, if it's Bullock and he comes in here because he's a veteran guy, you know what I mean, and he comes in here and he's able to do that, all to it. You know what I mean? He could come in on a one-year note, like, and just play that role.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, but that defense needs it. You know, they're soft. They're known as a soft defense now. You know, there's no guy on that team where it's just like, oh, we got to watch out for him. People respect Mayo. They don't fear him.
No.
You know?
He doesn't have the speed.
That's what aggravates me about the defense.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you. I think they need that guy. It's got to come from the linebacker or a safety position.
Yep.
It doesn't work on the defensive line. It doesn't work at cornerback. You know, you have to kind of be facing things and to be able to bark that out. And Rodney Harrison was.
I'll tell you the guy, Patrick Chung.
Well, I was going to say.
That's what I was thinking too. Chung could do that.
Yeah. It's not going to be Merriweather, as much as Rodney Harrison says that he.
It's got to be It's got to be an every down player, and
preferably.
And I think Chung is an every down player, obviously.
Right.
And I think he's young enough to grow into that, and I think he is a little bit more. Not a little bit. He's a more vocal player,
certainly,
and more excitable. I think that Anthony's looking for more demonstrative kind of.
Yeah, like Rodney used to be.
Guy with a presence.
Like Teddy used to be.
Right. Anthony, a guy with a presence. I think Patrick Chung can have a presence.
Yeah. I'm linebacker, like, biased. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've always been a defensive guy, run the ball type of guy.
Yeah, you want to look at Gerard Mayo and think Ray Lewis in terms of that fire, but I don't think that's in him.
I feel like
I think he's a quiet guy.
At times I kind of back off. I feel like I'm too harsh or I expect too much of Mayo, but that's what I expect out of the number 10 spot.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
The number 10 spot, you know, like, I was expecting the man. And I feel like, yeah, he's solid. He's good, but to me, he represents more of that second round guy. You know, like top of the second round guy. Yeah. I was just expecting so much more, and he might be the greatest guy. He might be a good silent leader, but I don't see it on the field. You know what I mean? Besides that Buffalo game, that's the only game that my friends can point to and be like, "Oh, you know, he was a monster in that game." Who cares? It was Buffalo.
We beat them every time.
Exactly.
I agree. I think that you. I think. Gerard Mayo, really, in my eyes anyway, because I've been pretty critical of him too, he took a big step last year in terms of his play. I'm not sure that he's the guy that you're looking for, though, Anthony, in terms of that demonstrative, fiery kind of guy who commands a room. I think he's a quiet, cerebral, film study kind of guy. That's where he gets his the most out of his ability,
right?
I think, is his preparation rather than his ability to fly around and kill people and yell at people.
And for the Jets, you know, obviously the guy that they picked up a free agent, oh my God, why is his name escaping me right now? You know, their boisterous leader, but he doesn't make Pro Bowl.
Bart Scott.
Yes, Bart Scott. You know what I mean? If we have that guy.
Yeah, he's probably not as good a player as Mayo. But I understand what you're saying. It's
Bart Scott in that category.
It's the style.
Mayo is far better player than he is. But I'm thinking if Spikes can play the role of Bart Scott, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It make wonders, I think, on that defense. And I just feel like. That's the guy that we need to.
He might be able to do it. We'll see. He might have that in him. I think he is a more vocal guy. Now it's hard to tell last year with the rookies because the rookies are always so quiet.
Yeah,
And that's by design. That's not a
year. I think.
By the way, did you happen to see the four tenets of the Bill Belichick rules to deal with the media?
No,
it was on Pro Football Talk yesterday. Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, he
sort of outlined them.
Yeah.
On
what are
ESPN?
They?
You know, the stuff that you would think. Never talk about. Go ahead, Anthony. We'll get into the Belichick thing later. What else you got?
Well, I want to know, Eric, how tall are you?
5'7".
How much do you weigh?
150.
150?
Yeah.
All right. Because I'm looking up at the chart.
This could be funny.
So you're in the average range. I don't think you could use the muscular term.
It is. My weight is mostly in muscle.
Oh boy!
You know
why honestly, is Andy not here? Why this is? I can never remember ever saying this. Why is Andy not here?
My God, Eric, your pomposity amazes me each and every time.
And you know what? I've just grown to accept it.
It's amazing that it gets even bigger when Andy's not there because he can't bash you back down.
Now, Eric, were you a spoiled child?
No, not at all.
No,
nope.
Your parents didn't coddle you.
We didn't have a lot of money.
Put you in your place. No. I don't mean money.
Whoa. Spoiled doesn't necessarily mean money.
I mean like
you're an only child, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. A lot of attention
by
was paid to you.
By definition.
A lot of attention was paid, but I wasn't spoiled with anything.
And your poop didn't stink.
You had more attention than
No, that's
than,
not true.
Especially Freddie. I don't know if you know, but I'm a middle child.
But can I just
we're ignored.
Right.
That's why I talk all the time because I was always looking for attention.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony. I know you got another bone to pick.
Can I just tell you, Eric, I have a hard time saying muscular when describing myself. I am 5'6", 185 pounds, can bench over 300 pounds, and I'm slim, and I have a hard time saying muscular.
Real proud of you.
I'm just saying.
You're getting mad over there, I can tell. I can tell through the phone.
It's amazing to me. All right, guys. Take it
all right.
Easy.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah,
a lot of attention was paid to you because you're an only child.
Certainly there was attention paid.
And so you have a very high opinion of yourself, which comes from the attention that your parents paid to you.
I have a lot of self-confidence, yes.
Right, right. But it's misplaced. I'm only kidding.
Wow.
No, but that's what happens with an only child. You get that false sense of confidence.
I don't think there's anything false about certain things.
Here comes another one of those therapy sessions.
Well, no, it's just, you know, you didn't get, like, Paul was completely, you know, constantly beaten down by his brother.
Because he had an older brother.
You know, put in his place. When Paul started to think too much of himself,
he had an older brother who was there to beat him down.
Right. And you didn't have that. You just had your parents propping you up.
There weren't too many days that I thought too much of myself, by the way.
No.
So,
it's just one of those things that you have to keep in mind.
Right. There is a fine line, as you know, Fred, between confidence and arrogance.
Right.
We tread that every day.
That's true.
We all do.
That's true.
Some of us more than others, I will admit.
That's true.
I'm a little disappointed with Fred.
Why is that?
Because you said it was misplaced, and then you immediately took it back and said you were only kidding.
Well, he started to tear up.
When did you grow a conscience?
He teared up. I didn't want to tear up.
I don't play for the Heat.
Brian in UNH writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Hey, guys, I was going to say Aunt Shaz here, but I've grown to like you more lately, Eric.
Oh, good. Is it my musculature?
Maybe.
I want to see if I can get Anthony to call back and really be mad at me.
I've had this debate with my friends a couple times before and was wondering what you guys thought. Who do you think will be Pro Football Hall of Famers from the 2001 through 2004 Patriots teams? Obviously, Brady and Belichick will be, but who else? I would just like to hear your thoughts on it, especially Paul, as he usually has some good insight on these things.
I'm sorry, I was eating a cookie.
From 2001-2004, other than Brady and Belichick, who makes the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I think Corey Dillon has a chance, but he obviously isn't considered a Patriot.
You know, for their work as a Patriot,
yeah.
I think it might really only come down to Adam Vinatieri. I think he's going to make it.
Yep.
I think Ty Law has a chance, and I think Richard Seymour has a chance.
What about Vinatieri?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was the first name he mentioned.
What? Oh. Yeah, I think Vinatieri has a chance. Ty Law, maybe. I'm just agreeing with him. That's all.
You guys make
now
fun
I'm
of
saying
me.
Who I think.
You make fun of me.
If McGinnis had... If McGinnis had been more of a playmaker more often,
yeah,
I think he would have had a chance too. But he only did it in spurts, it seemed like, and he was injured a lot.
I think if McGinnis had Belichick as a coach his entire career, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I think that might be accurate.
As a lot of those guys probably could say that. I mean, if Belichick coached, let's say that Mr. Kraft was able to do what his first instinct was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after Parcells said goodbye in 96. He said he thought long and hard about hiring Belichick. If they had hired Belichick in 97, it's not out of the realm of possibility that team would have won Super Bowls before 2001.
Right. But, you know, here's the thing
everything changes.
But again, the butterfly effect.
Drew Bledsoe may never have been able to have been that guy with Bill Belichick.
But here's the thing. If Kraft had hired Belichick immediately after Parcells left, he wouldn't have treated Belichick the same way. He probably wouldn't have given him the latitude that he gave him eventually.
No, you're absolutely right.
And it wouldn't be the same Bill Belichick.
And the reason that he has stated publicly as to why he chose not to do that was because he felt he was too close to Parcells.
Right.
That was too much of the same. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. There's no way he would have said, I am going to give the keys to this guy and let him do what he did, the way he did in 2000.
Right.
So you're right. But I think there's a million different butterfly effects. I don't know if Drew Bledsoe ever could have been the guy.
Right.
Right.
With Belichick. Never doing the things that Belichick wants.
Right.
On a consistent basis.
Yep.
Who knows?
Yep.
And then who knows if they ever get Brady.
Exactly.
Right.
Because if that happens, then.
That's true. And,
but I think,
or doesn't happen, I should say.
In a vacuum, I would say guys like McGinnis and Law and Troy Brown, those guys may have been perennial Pro Bowlers. In the case of Law, he was, but the other guys could have been going to the Pro Bowls every year, making All Pro teams, and perhaps when you're done 10 years later, winning five maybe who knows how many Super Bowls. Yep.
Then you're more likely
to
be
now you're
a
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Right.
Yep.
Troy Brown, think about Troy Brown under Belichick, and if he could have done that 3 years earlier.
Yep, he would have been a shoo-in.
That's a guy who's got a chance to be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, those are Welker numbers. You know, that what Welker's putting up now.
How disgraceful to Troy Brown.
John in South Carolina. Hey, guys, and Kevin. I wanted to say something about the only child comment. It's not true. I am an only child, and I think I am a piece of crap, although I still feel I am better than Andy. Go Bruins. So there's an argument against the only child.
I'd almost say it's a guarantee that you're better than Andy.
Okay. But he's not a piece of crap.
Andy?
No, this only child
of course
feels
he's not.
That he's a piece
so
of crap.
So, he shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah, the Belichick rules of dealing with the media that I touched upon. First, the obvious one was never, ever talk about injuries. One of the things that he says, only speak about yourself. Don't speak about your teammates. Don't speak,
or your coaches.
About anything other than yourself.
Right.
And always over-the-top praise for the opponent.
Right.
So all the flowery, Wednesday press conferences we get, and how great the other team is, as we have said,
sure.
that's orchestrated.
Of course
that's,
it is.
That's planned.
That's what they teach.
Can't remember if there's any other aspect to one of those things that was different. But that's basically the rules of thumb. And Bruschi wrote about those on ESPN.com, ESPNBoston.com.
Josh in Waterloo, hello all you peasants that have now returned to your real world. That's the LeBron reference.
Yeah, that's all of us.
Question for the hockey experts. What is the reason behind icing? To me, it seems like when Randy Moss breaks behind the secondary, they would call icing. Why and when is it called? And did Eric catch and eat any red snapper? Did you get any snapper?
I think he's trying to make you.
It doesn't have to do with fishing.
It doesn't have to do with fishing.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think there's a corollary.
It has
between
to do with using his pole.
Icing in hockey and Randy
That's
Moss
a good point.
Going deep.
What's that?
That would be offside. Offside would be kind of like offside, Randy Moss going deep.
Right.
And if he's the last guy. Like in soccer, you can't be the last guy behind the defender, right?
Or the ball.
Unless,
you got to have a ball or the defender between you and the goalie.
The thing that drives me nuts about soccer, though, having watched it a bunch, is that you can step up to put the other guy offside. So if he's like quicker than you, you're like, oh, I don't want to. That to me seems.
Yeah, but. You know, the whole thing with icing is, if you have a fast team, you could just dump it the length of the ice and beat everybody to the puck.
No, icing is just it's to penalize you from simply relieving pressure by throwing it down the end of the ice.
That too, yeah.
That's what the rule is there because of that.
Yeah.
When you get caught in your own end and you finally get possession, they don't allow you to just throw it out and sort of, regroup.
It's like and you can't just flip the puck out of bounds either into the stands. That's a penalty.
Delay game.
Yeah, you don't want to be out of bounds in hockey.
Right. So I guess icing is a good rule. I can't argue with icing.
What do you think about the two-line pass, Paul, when that got?
Well, I like the elimination of the red line for that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It opened the game up a lot.
Some people have blamed that for the increase in these headshots because the puck is traveling longer distances and is obviously
guys
to make those passes
guys
are sort of trained a little bit more on the puck and they think that that's sort of allowing more time to get lined up and buried. I think that's a stretch. There's guys that know and follow a hell of a lot more hockey than I do, so they're the guys that say it. So
I think,
who am I to say they're wrong?
I think guys are just faster. They're bigger. They're stronger.
And the pads are so much bigger, too.
The pads are bigger. They wear helmets now, so there's a little bit more recklessness.
Well, they've worn helmets for 35 years. I mean, that's not a new thing.
Well, I remember when they didn't wear helmets.
Yeah, I mean, I do, too, because I'm old like you.
I don't remember guys getting concussions back then. What?
Going back to the 40s with Paul. Yeah.
Exactly.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Eric, looks like the name Chaz is sticking pretty hard. You know how to try to offset it with blurting out some actor named Chaz in defiant reply or threatening bodily harm? Well, here's a cool one to help you save face a little. You can say Chaz. Oh, Chaz Candler, Jimi Hendrix's manager. There, that'll make you sound cool every time.
Yeah. I don't know. Fred certainly sounded cool reading it.
Chaz Candler.
Read the next line.
Except to Paul, who thinks music is overrated and says the music hall part should be removed from Radio City Marquee.
Wasn't it Andy who...
It should be just Radio City?
I think Andy's the one.
Andy's the one who says music is overrated.
I don't...
Paul, you like your music.
Yeah, but I don't like music.
Boys then. In the Back and the Back
Boys
Street
in the Back.
Boys and,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Paul just doesn't like Christmas music.
I like music that most most heterosexual men don't.
What's
How's that?
That?
You like your
dance
disco?
Music. I like
dance
disco
music.
And dance music.
Right.
I like
your Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire
like
to me is the greatest group ever.
I like my techno beat and house music.
Different type
Good
of dance,
stuff.
Though. Right?
The That's Commodores, little... Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Sure.
ABBA.
Yeah,
you weren't an
not
ABBA
as much.
Fan?
See, not as much.
But
ABBA.
Paul liked all those songs because all the girls named Gina and Everett liked those songs.
Freddie, listen.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What? Gina and Marie.
No Maries.
No Maries.
A lot of Ginas.
A lot of Ginas.
Lot
no,
of Ginas.
No Gina Maries with the hyphen?
Yeah.
No. No. But, yeah, I mean, you come to a conclusion at some point when you're 13, 14, 15 years old and you're going to these dances.
Right.
You can either stand up against the wall with all the other dorks and not dance with any girls.
Right.
Or you can sort of embrace it.
Sure.
And not sort of be over, you know, overly concerned and self-conscious about the fact that maybe I don't look that great.
Paul was out there with
all
his,
the girls want to dance with me.
Paul was out there with his linen slacks
that's
his silk
you have
shirt. Did you have the Italian horn?
I had an Italian horn. I did have an Italian horn.
I love
great.
It. Oh, my God.
I did have I had a very long gold chain that my grandmother bought for me in Italy.
Yeah.
And she brought it back for me, and it was...
Fragile.
It was a pretty expensive.
It must be Italian.
Gold chain. And I remember the clasp broke. My mother brought it to a place, and this is back like in the late 70s.
Right.
And the guy at the jewelry store said that she'd give him something like $4,000 for it right now.
Really?
And she goes, well, that belongs to my 12-year-old son. And the guy said, if I were you, I'd have it stapled to his neck.
Yeah.
And it had a little gold horn.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great. Coke
the Italian
spoon
horn.
Too? Do you have
no,
spoon?
I didn't have a Coke spoon.
Okay.
I didn't even smoke.
What? Chronic?
Is that the Chronic?
The yeah. Chronic, yes.
Turn up the Chronic. Oh, wait, that's not a music group, right?
Yeah, I can just see Paul with the shirt. And the
oh,
chain.
No, no,
oh,
no, no.
Oh, my God. The silk
wait,
shirt.
You're advancing me about five to 7 years here.
Okay.
I was not 21 going to, you know, I wasn't 18. I wasn't legal. You were probably legal at 18, right?
The cutoff happened while I was 18.
Yeah, see, I was too young for that. That didn't affect me.
Yeah. I was legal for a little bit, and then they changed
the rule. I didn't
hang
out at, like, disco clubs.
Yeah.
I was not old enough. I mean, but...
Right.
When I was growing up, like I said, we would go to dances at school and start CYO dances and things like that, and that's the music that they played. And I, like I said, all the guys went to these dances, but most of them stood up against the wall because they were quote unquote
sure,
too cool to get involved. I
right.
didn't care.
So
me
you
and my
would dance
friends
with a girl.
Went,
at the end of the night, they'd steal the girl from you and take her home.
That's a negative ghost.
Uh-oh.
You know, much like Eric, I had a muscular physique, and that didn't happen to me.
Long ball Paul back then.
Ball Paul.
Let's put it this way. I never had any problems with that.
Okay.
Wow.
Paul was fishing with a bigger pole.
On the day that...
And his older brother didn't knock him back down a peg for that, did he?
On the day that they changed the law to 18... Me and this other kid convinced my mother to go buy us 10 cases of beer. We paid for it, but she bought it for us, and then we brought all the beer down to the beach and sold them for $2 each. And we made a killing. we made a killing.
Why are we wasting time with my CYO dance stuff when you have these kinds of stories?
It was great.
You were an entrepreneur at what, age 18?
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Some kids had a lemonade stand. Fred's reselling beers for twice the markup.
You know,
sure.
That lemonade stand with that girl on TV was
yes.
one of those like variety, one
yeah.
of those
yeah.
mobile things. I love that commercial.
She's hilarious. Yeah.
Have you seen the
I love the face that she makes when she's walking like real determined.
Yep.
Like the corporate walk.
Yep.
And then the boy at the end is like, you know,
is she
expecting
you?
And kind of like raises his eyebrow.
Have you seen the commercial they're playing during the hockey it's the two guys sitting in their cubes. He's like, you know that email you just sent? You reply to all?
Yeah.
And he just like freaks out.
Right.
That I love that commercial. That's great. That is a great commercial.
Well, who can't relate to that?
I know. Yeah. John writes in, if you could bring one player from the past and put them on the team today, who would it be and why?
Good question.
Now, is this any player from any team or any Patriot?
Probably any Patriot.
All right, let's do any Patriot.
I would say Rodney Harrison.
Really? Okay. Not Mike Haynes? One of the greatest cornerbacks ever?
No, you know what? I'm going to take that back.
John Hannah?
I'm going to take that back. It would probably be a corner. It would probably be a corner. Probably Samuel.
Samuel?
Probably Samuel.
Oh, what about Ty Law in his heyday?
In his heyday.
I take Law over Samuel, and I take Haynes maybe over Law.
I'm trying to think of what they need the most.
You know, I'll tell you, Willie McGinnis.
Might be McGinnis.
Andre Tippett.
Well, there you go.
All right.
There you go.
There you
go. There's the winner.
What are we
There's
thinking?
The winner. What,
the
what
winner.
Are we thinking?
What are we thinking?
Yeah, he's the prototype. he's the guy.
No, but I was. That's absolutely the answer. Yeah. The right answer is Andre Tippett. I was thinking more in terms of
in
guys
the championship
in this
teams.
In this
yeah.
run.
No, oh, okay.
I was too.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking McGinnis and Vrabel, because that's the position that they're sorely lacking.
If that's the criteria,
Harrison's
fine. A good one.
Harrison was fine.
He brings back then that.
I would take Harrison over Law or Samuel because I think they're okay at cornerback.
Yeah. What about Corey Dillon? 2004 Corey Dillon? Too much of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And
I don't think they need him that much.
Yeah.
As much.
I don't think
position.
They ran for any more yards in 2004 than they did last year as a team.
Patrick Pass? No, I'm only kidding.
I'd love to have the I'd love to have the 07 Randy Moss.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Beating defenses, scoring 20 plus touchdowns.
I love those questions though.
Sure.
That's
you
a good question.
You can go in a million different directions.
That is a very good question.
Yeah.
David Givens?
I mean, what about putting Steve Nelson next to Gerard Mayo? You know?
Mhm.
That would work.
That's a good one. Logan Mankins and John Hanna on either side of the guard.
Oh, my God.
Either side of the center, I mean.
That would be unbelievable, right?
Tippett.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tippett's the guy.
Tippett on the edge.
That's the guy that we want them to draft, but he doesn't exist.
Mm. Well, he does exist. He's just, you know.
Well, he does.
In his 40s.
He just plays for a lot of other teams.
Right. But,
you know, like Green Bay.
Yeah. Tip would be good.
No, I meant Tip. He literally exists. He's upstairs.
No, I meant this version of Tip in the NFL today.
I know what you meant.
You know, one place for Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one place for Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
We just decide, you know.
Yeah, not good enough for this team.
Joey writes in, Kev is trolling for calls via Facebook, and I called 3 times, and no one has answered. So he's squealing on
Kevin.
Are
you calling the 50 Snowman, 29 Snowman number?
Because you guys can see the calls too when they pop up, or at least Freddie can. Eric used to
I
be
can
able
sort of
to,
yeah what yeah. happened to this thing over here.
I'm not sure. We had the power went out last Thursday, or I think it was after the show, and I was here at night, and all of a sudden we had a bad storm.
Of course.
And boom, everything got knocked out.
I like how we just slips that in there.
It was all a Patriot place too.
He tries
well.
To do it conversationally.
Hey Fred, Paul and Angry E.
My power went out too and I didn't realize it. Well, I didn't think, but my bug zapper outside was off all week.
Wasn't zapping?
I was cutting the grass last night, and I was like, how come this light is blinking?
So you have one of, what, you have one of those lights that
you know,
they
those
hit?
Magnets? No, no.
Oh,
no.
You have a mosquito
magnet?
Yeah.
How's it work?
It helped last year.
You know, mine died a long
Here's
time
the,
ago.
The,
I never replaced it.
The downside is you got to replace the propane tank like every 3 weeks.
Right.
Oh.
You know, so
I know that.
They run out quick.
I used to have two on hand so that,
you could just
you know, you could swap refill. Them out. But mine just ended up dying. I couldn't get it started again.
Did you cover it in the winter or did you leave it out?
Oh, no, I put it away.
Because like my brother-in-law left it out and he was all mad when it didn't work the next year. I'm like, they tell you to make sure you bring it in.
No, I had it, you know, put away. And
does it really work, though?
The first year it did. I mean, every morning you'd go and that bag would be full of mosquitoes, so it's doing the work.
Yeah, it's. I wouldn't say it eliminates the bug problem, but you used to not be able to be on my deck. Once it got dark, you couldn't stay out on my deck. And I had no problems really last summer. You could stay out there.
Well, now they make these new things that the hunters have been using for a while, but now everyone's starting to use it. You clip it to your belt, and it's like a personal repellent. They sell it at Bass Pro. I forget the name of it, but I guess it works really, really well.
What does it emit?
It emits some type of odor that the bugs don't like. And you know,
can we smell it?
No, and like, for example, deer can't smell it either because that was one of the things. Oh, wouldn't that you know, warn the deer that you're coming.
Mm.
And I guess the hunters say it's okay.
Mm.
So
God forbid that the deer know you're coming. It's not enough that the hunter is armed. We have to sneak up on it as well. Matt in Oregon right now is grinding something.
Joey says,
I'm just kidding.
Do you guys think Matt Light will be back for one more year or two? He's been a good player for us, and I, for one, would like to see him back. And the Bruins do not need to win the cup to be winners in my eyes.
Thanks, Gene Hackman.
Yeah. No, I don't think
Norman
Matt Light
Dale
will be back.
Checking in. I don't care what the scoreboard says. My book, we'll be winners. I'm going to give you an absolutely positively maybe.
Oh, good.
On Matt Light.
I'm going to say no.
I do think there's a chance. And I think that the large reason for there being a chance is the lockout. I don't think that he's going to have an opportunity to explore offers, and it might just be easier for him to come back. I know he wants to be here. The question is, do the Patriots want to cut the cord now or later? In normal times, I would say they would do it now because they tend, Belichick tends to adhere to what he, you know, a philosophy that I first heard him say many years ago, better to cut a guy a year early than a year late.
Right. John in South Carolina says he would bring Curtis Martin back.
That's
a
good
one.
Not
a bad one.
That's a good one.
But in terms of need right now, I think Tippett's the answer.
Yeah, and I definitely see the benefit of having a guy, you know, like Corey Dillon in 04, rather than piecing it together, having one guy that you can rely on.
Sure.
There's benefits to that. And Curtis Martin, I think, would have been even better than Dillon because not only he would have gotten you the 1,500-plus yards, I think he would have given you some big play potential.
Yep.
I like the Curtis Martin one, though. That's a good one I hadn't thought of.
Fat Pat wants to know, is icing sort of like intentional grounding?
Yeah.
I guess so.
A little bit more like that, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, and you're avoiding trouble.
Yeah. He also says he'd like to bring back the 03 Brady. I think the 07 Brady is better
pretty
than
good,
the,
yeah.
I mean, I think Brady's only gotten better. You know,
There's a school of thought out there, Freddie.
I think last year's Brady was pretty good, too.
The school of thought, and I'm not saying I necessarily adhere to it, but the Patriots have gotten too much like the old Colts in that their offense has sort of turned into a pass first, second, and always kind of offense. Brady is throwing it around a lot, and they don't have as good a defense as they had back in those days. So you're kind of like the Colts in the early part of the aughts. And that's why the playoff failures the last couple of years, according to a lot of people. And maybe they're saying when Brady was running a balanced offense and doing the dink and dunk and not making, you know, you can't say he made a lot of mistakes last year or ever, really. He's never thrown a lot of interceptions. But maybe that was a more effective Brady. I don't see how you can play the position any better than
he... It's all about the personnel. Brady will adapt to whatever's around
him. I don't see how you can play any better than he played in 07 or last year.
Right. Matt writes, and we all know that Super Bowl 42 ranked number one in the most heartbreaking losses in Boston sports history. What would be number two? The 2003 ALCS game, 7 loss to the Yankees?
It's not my number one.
The 06 AFC championship loss to the Colts or the 2010 game 7 loss to the NBA finals to the Lakers? So you don't think number one is the most heartbreaking loss in Boston sports history?
No, I mean, you look at the way the Red Sox lost countless games. I mean, 86 game 6, I don't see how you can top
Bucky
that.
Bucky Dent?
That's up there, but it wasn't the World Series.
Oh, right.
86 yep. World Series, when they got a two-run lead with two outs and no one on, about to break an 80-whatever-year curse. And
that's Bill Buckner.
You start splotching.
I guess, you know, but they were going up against a pretty good team in the Mets. Just that 07 one, it was in the bag.
07 is huge, but the game unfolded and you got outplayed in the game.
No, true.
The Red Sox were in total control.
Still, my heart was broken.
Oh, yeah. No, the guy is ranking the worst. I mean, they're all heartbreakers.
Yeah.
I mean, the 03 ALCS was 5-2 lead with one out in the eighth and no one on.
My heart was broken when Magic came in with that little
Magic baby hook.
That baby hook. That was a
crusher.
Killer. Mm-hmm. That was a killer.
But I would put the 86 Red Sox 1 and the Patriots 07 2.
Really? Okay.
And then I would put the 03 Red Sox 3 in my I don't know, Hall of Hate.
I'll never forget after that loss.
How's that? The Hall of Hate.
The loss to the Yankees,
yeah.
You mean? The losing the series?
That's the Pedro Martinez and
Grady.
Sports radio was never better that night because Ted Sarandis was doing his solo, and, I mean, the fury that he
that,
had.
That might have been the best.
The callers.
He was talking like people up bridges.
Oh, it was great.
That may have been
did you remember that night? Did you listen? That was great radio.
Like people sounded like they were going to commit that.
Oh, my God.
He was still up because he was working. You didn't know that?
Oh, that's right.
That is true.
That might have been the greatest talk radio topic ever.
Yeah.
That was went on for months.
It did.
And months and months. I mean, they fired him, and they still pounded
I think
and pounded and pounded.
That argument was the one in Kansas City or St. Louis where Gil Santos said he ought to slap Brian Morey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got into an argument.
You know what? You're right. That was what precipitated that. I ought to slap you.
Really?
I ought to slap you.
Oh, I wish I
because
could
Brian had the audacity to say that he didn't think there was anything wrong with leaving Pedro in.
We also called him ignorant.
Oh, that's right. He did.
He did. It got personal.
Which
Brian is wanting
Brian
to do.
Called Gil ignorant, and Gil said, I ought to slap you. I thought they were going to have a duel.
He actually took out the leather glove and smacked him in the face.
Right. Oh, God.
I challenge you to a duel.
And you wonder why we get banned from the hotel bars.
I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
Quick little update, Freddie, on the talks down on the Eastern Shore. We still haven't heard from Brad, by the way, so maybe he really is part of those talks.
I told you, he orchestrated the whole thing.
Mort Report is saying that the lawyers are involved in this go-round.
Too bad.
But he thinks that's a good sign because it means
maybe they're
closer, so they actually need to finalize language.
Okay, I'll look at it that way. All right.
I still say, as long as it doesn't disrupt our vacation plans for that 4th of July week, I'm okay.
Victor writes in, hey,
I'm
guys,
still going to the vineyard.
Which team do you think was more hated, the 2007 Patriots or the Miami Heat this year?
Miami.
That's a good question, too.
Yeah, to me, Miami.
There was a lot of hate for New England.
I'm still stunned that you guys get the 4th of July.
I think
that's a tough question.
There was a lot of hate for New England, but... I mean,
because of how the year started.
Yeah. Well, all
with,
you know,
with
because
all
of Spygate and all that stuff. But
no question, there was a lot of hate.
Think about the way the Miami season started with the decision and the press conference.
Yeah.
And I think from day one, there was universal, other than Miami, we hope they lose.
You're right. I think I will go with the Heat because I think there were enough football purists who were looking at the undefeated season and saying, you know what, this is something special.
Yeah,
the
difference to me is I don't think anybody thought that the Patriots were put together in any kind of underhanded way.
Right, and here's the other thing.
There was resentment for how Miami put this all together.
That's true.
It was a scam.
And I think that you can also say that during 07, the Patriots actually gained in fans. A lot of people became Patriots fans in 07. That you can't say that for the Heat, right?
I'm sure they gained fans in South Florida,
in their own area.
I don't know who the Patriots gained. I agree with Eric. You know, when the Spygate happened early in that year, a lot of people
were rejoicing
against the Patriots and took a lot of pleasure
in their
discomfort with that whole situation. I'm not sure how many Patriots fans jumped on board that year.
I think there were people though who did become football fans and Patriots fans because of that.
Randy Moss brought a lot of fans here,
particularly a lot of our overseas fans.
Yep, yep.
And you think they jumped on board in 07?
Some of them say they did. Some of them who've written in have said,
"Jumped on board in week 3 of 01."
Yeah, a lot more of them.
Don't you guys read the media relations releases?
That's true.
Brad, hey, listen, Brad from the Eastern Shores on the line.
There we go.
The Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brad,
breaking the talks over there.
Well, guys, you know, I'd love to be able to say that I had them at my compound, but seeing as I've sold my house, I'm not. I'm only here for work, not to live. So,
yep.
I had a couple extra ones. I love the question about the heartbreaking loss. As much as you guys nailed Andre Tippett, which I was sitting here saying I'm getting ready for a quarterly report, so I just barely tuned in about 2 minutes before you said my name. What about the Game 7, 1975 World Series with the Red Sox and the Reds?
That was a heartbreaker.
That was a big one, too.
Yep.
That
3-0 lead, you know.
Never forget that single when they were playing deep, or they were playing up, and it went over his head, and they just walked off the field because the game was over.
Yeah, You could almost put a new category in there, not just the most heartbreaking loss,
in Fenway,
but the game that you feel was stolen, the series that you feel was the most stolen from a Boston sports team.
Series stolen.
Because you could say the Ed Armbrester,
right? That was the
screw up of the bunt that you know, the guy got in the way of Fisk and they didn't call him an interference. You could say the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, that to me would be, in terms of completely stolen.
Yeah, the Raiders
that
game.
That call.
76.
That singular call cost the team a game, much like the Raiders look at the Tuck rule.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Without one singular call, you win.
Right.
And the other one that I would put in those as the top three would be this year's Celtics-Heat series, where all LeBron had to do was put his head down and drive straight ahead regardless of what or who he hit. And he went to the line, and it was so interesting. In the finals, he didn't get any of those calls.
Well, he didn't drive enough is what people are saying.
Yeah, he didn't drive.
He would have if he had driven enough, but I don't know. But I that's a good question, you know, which – but the fan on the roughing call –
It would be a real toss-up between the Patriots and Oakland and the Red Sox and the Reds as to which one was the most stolen.
Yeah. I think the football one is hard to compare because it's just one game. You know, when you're in a series, you can always bounce back the next game and all that. But I remember that. I was a young kid, but that Ed Armbrister call, he had his back to the play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was ridiculous.
And the guy was just standing there on the foul line, you know, one step out of the batter's box, just standing in Fisk's way. So it was like there was no way Fisk was going to get to that ball.
Right.
And he just followed the ball up the baseline and beat the throw from Fisk when he finally got around it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of other, you know, games, sporting. I'll tell you, a sporting event, not necessarily Boston, that I thought was stolen was the when Russia beat America in basketball.
That was unbelievable. Yeah. Remember, the three endings.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
They had to replay the final play three times.
A bunch of times until we get the result
And then when he threw it in bounds, he had his foot in bounds when he was passing the ball in bounds.
Even then, they did it three times until they got it right, and it was still a push-off hunt for the guy to get the ball.
That was a complete job. And then there's a ton of boxing ones where you could say those were stolen.
But now you're talking boxing.
Yeah, right. That's different.
Right.
No, I would say the single best redemption to that Russia-U.S. basketball game was the Russia-U.S. hockey game.
Of course, right.
That made that hockey game so great because of what had happened, you know, against the vaunted Russia basketball
game. And the U.S. didn't have to steal that game. They actually beat them
at
their own game.
Right. It was like, this is what we are capable of doing.
Right.
But I also think, you know, Brad, and thanks for the call. That was a good topic. I also think that,
when
you talk about vindication, you know, one-to-one, the Tuck rule was vindication for the
76.
Phantom of the Roughing call.
Absolutely.
They were both bad calls, but, you know, that was payback.
And it was even better payback because it launched the dynasty for doing it.
I mean, any Patriots fan who spent even a millisecond feeling guilty about that, was insane. Anybody who was old enough to remember 76 didn't even blink an eye because that was just payback for everything that the Raiders did. I mean, I felt there was incredible payback in 85 when we beat them in the divisional playoffs out there in L.A. when we beat the Raiders after all that crap the Raiders put us through.
Yep.
But this
was
even
different.
Better.
Yeah, that was much better.
Alden in Illinois says, first of all, thoughts go out to Tom Martinez. Tom Brady's quarterback coach who's ill.
He's gravely ill.
Gravely ill.
His daughter, I guess, posted something saying, you know, could be as short as a week that he had to live, which is...
So that's tough. That's tough.
But
he also says, yesterday I saw something on NFL.com about how Sue...
Ndamukong?
Said that he feels the Lions should go 16-0 next year. He didn't say that they would, but from what I could tell, the whole point was to say that the talent is there. I was just wondering what your guys' opinion was on this topic.
I don't really think too much about it. They don't have 16-0 talent.
Yeah, and you know Matthew Stafford.
I think it's a good young team. I think they're on the rise. They don't have 16-0 talent.
Is Ndamukong Suh an only child?
You watch the way that secondary played last year. You tell me you think that's a 16-0 secondary?
Does he have misplaced confidence, Paul?
Yeah, well, his father probably, you know, told him that he was the greatest at everything he ever did. You know, much like you.
Josh
Go ahead. Be a comic. You're so funny, Eric.
Josh says, did you guys see the tweet from Dante Stallworth where he sent out a picture talking about how he's working out with Welker? The caption had the hashtag reunion maybe. What do you guys think? I don't see it.
Well, he's been openly
He's petitioned and lobbied for
throughout the offseason. He'd love to come back to New England. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't dismiss it.
Yeah.
I think he's a veteran who, by all accounts, was respected when mm-hmm. he was here, fit in well when he was here.
Yep.
Can definitely play on the outside, can give you that deep threat.
Yeah.
Not going to give you, 70, 80, 90 catches. Yeah. But
not a number one guy, but a good compliment.
If he caught 20 or 30 passes and averaged, close to, 17 yards a catch like he did when he was here, that might be a valuable piece to your offense.
I feel better about that pickup if they got somebody like Sidney Rice to be the legitimate number one guy. Then you have a potent.
Yeah,
they wouldn't
go and get Dante Stallworth if they got Sidney Rice. I'm saying just an outside speed guy who can stretch the field a little bit. If they got Sidney Rice, yeah, absolutely, that'd be a much better move.
Earlier we were talking about linebackers with passion and all that stuff. Scott in Jersey writes in, longtime listener, third time emailer. I know Paul kind of mocks Ray Lewis for his intensity, and I don't. And I just can't.
I mock him because he was involved in a murder.
Well, Scott.
There's
saying,
a difference.
Scott's saying he can't stand him either. I never played football outside of pickup games, and maybe I'm wrong, but all of his barking and screaming seems ridiculous. At the NFL level, if you are not ready to play, you won't do well, and no pep talk could help you. If Ray was on your team, how could you not laugh at him? Also, I know he's a good player, and at one time he was a great player. However, no one in the history of the NFL gets credit for more tackles than he does not make than Ray Lewis. He often jumps on a pile, then gets up and celebrates like he just won the lottery.
A lot of players do that.
I don't know about that. I don't know if Ray Lewis is a pile jumper.
He's not a pile jumper.
And you would laugh at Ray if he didn't back it up, but he backs it up. He's the leader of that team.
He does.
That's how they play.
And plus, just because you're a professional athlete, soldiers in battle rely on their generals to give them pep talks a lot of times. I mean, are they not more professional than an athlete? I mean, I know it's two different things, two different occupations, but, you're human. And in such situations, a lot of times self-doubt creeps in. Maybe, the gravity of the moment. You need somebody like that who can inspire you and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. We are going to do this. We are that good. We are better. It doesn't matter what the situation is.
Right.
Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't, a lot of people criticize the Patriots the last couple of years for coming out flat in playoff games.
Right.
Right.
They're such professional. Why are they going flat?
And obviously, you can't say that they were flat against the Ravens at home 2 years ago and the Jets this year, but dismiss the fact that Ray Lewis whooped everybody up into a frenzy for Baltimore as they were coming out of the tunnel that day, leading all of us to sit there and say, uh-oh, mm-hmm. and dismiss the importance of that. I mean, one of them can't be right.
That's right.
That's all you got?
Okay, answer.
And so,
Paul,
we'll see. Yeah.
Eric's mentioning of generals reminded me of General Patton.
Yeah.
Remember General Patton?
No.
Well, I don't recall him, when I was alive, but I do know who he was. Yes.
One of his talks to his soldiers was, no one ever won a war by dying for their country. They make the other bastard die for his country.
Right. Yeah, it's a great quote.
You like that, Paul?
It's a great quote.
And I hadn't heard that quote either.
You really? You've never heard that quote?
Never heard that
Me
quote.
Neither.
That's a great quote. Yeah.
It's a keeper.
Let's see. William Barry, Paul's favorite emailer, says, gentlemen and Paul, first, a Patriots question. A new CBA can change everything. If it makes first contracts 3 years before free agency, are there many three-year guys I'd worry about? I guess a ton of guys would come under that. If all of a sudden it was 3 years to free agency,
it's not going to be.
That would change everything. I don't
think it would, but it's not going
to
be.
That's not something the owners would agree to.
I don't think the owners would agree to it, but do you mean like current guys that would all of a sudden, they're 3 years in and they're.
Yeah, like Patrick Chung, right?
He would be going into his third year. Yeah, I don't think this. I mean, those are like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. They're guys that were given restricted free agent tenders.
Right.
That's not something that's going to happen, though, so I wouldn't even spend time worrying about it.
I tend to agree with Eric. I don't see it going down. If anything, it would go up.
And I don't think it would affect current contracts. So if you've got a rookie who was on his rookie contract, I don't think his contract would change from a four-year contract to a three-year contract. It would affect guys coming in later. you know.
I would think that you're right about that, too.
Second, I'll leave out the multitude of non-PFW stuff in my dream and start with me sitting on a toilet in a children's playroom watching a big-screen TV. How old are your kids? Someone who's seen Dora the Explorer might need to explain how that cartoon works. And have you ever seen Dora the Explorer?
Yeah. It's my kids. I have two boys, so they don't watch it a lot.
Instead of her monkey friend, she is followed by a fat man in a purple singlet with cartoony chest hair popping out and wearing a fedora.
Oh, it's not cartoony. It's real.
He's chomping on a cigar.
He's a real man, baby.
For some reason, he has an eye patch like Nick Fury. He's not in here, see, he says in an Edward G. Robinson imitation. Behind them is a jungle scene with Anthony Weiner. And Dora says to the audience, we can't find Anthony Weiner. Can you help us? After a minute, they turn around and Jake Steele yells, stop, see? Then he throws his fedora and a boxing glove comes out of it. Even in a dream, I know it's a dream, but it's a kid's show, so no decapitation. So that was his dream.
It's a kid's show, no decapitation. That might be the funniest thing he's ever written. It's a kid's show, no decapitation. Yeah.
So William Barry having dreams about Jake Steele, Cadillac crime fighter.
Even though you're a failed crime fighter.
Well, we also find out that Jake Steele was actually a porn star.
Right. Which is also in your background, isn't it not?
So that's not good. I have to claim that name.
You know it when you see it or hear it.
As you would say, you just said, is not it not?
I have to take that name away. And also, we never talked about Brett Lockett.
Good, let's not.
Didn't we talk about that last
week? It's not worth it.
Somebody just talked about the inside track, wrote today, Kim Kardashian's fights back at Patriots players' sexting claims.
Couldn't care less.
She's denying it. Whatever.
Yeah. She's lying. He's exaggerating.
Right.
How's that? That's my two cents on that topic.
So, unless you're getting some, I don't care. I don't want to hear
lame.
About your cyber
lame
sex.
On his part. Very yeah. lame on his part.
Really? Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It was a fast 2 hours.
Yeah.
We'll be back on Thursday after the Bruins wrap up the Stanley Cup.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.